Millennial
Nostalgia Berry
Podcast with Herschel,
Jeffrey,
and Crunchy, and away we go!
How's everyone doing?
I'm well, how are you?
Actually, shitty and suicidal, and just blueberries very blue.
Aww, poor blueberries.
Set the fuck up, blueberry! All
right, blueberry
espressos, kick it in!
Blueberry's just gonna be quiet this episode.
Finally! God, I've been waiting for that.
Do you actually believe that's gonna happen?
Of course not! Well, if you're quiet for more than 2 minutes, I'm already. Like, I kind of want to make a bet with myself as to how many times you're going to interrupt me in the first 3 minutes of me introducing the movie.
Yeah, the over is on 2 minutes.
So, my movie is... Oh, so I was going to ask you about that. Here's my 2 minute long question.
Sibilance.
Sorry. What?
I thought it was going to be a question.
No, I was. That was my
yeah.
terrible impression of you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not Jewish enough.
Not Jewish
enough. Well, I was going to ask you a question.
I'm going to get to that later.
I think Jeffrey does it better than me.
Yeah, it's no, like even. I don't know
what that is. Because he overdo it. That's
he did, but he does. He just does Ed Norton in Sausage Party, yeah, which like is such a perfect.
But that's still like over the top, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't have family that speak exactly like that.
No. I don't have. No. I don't.
Yeah. But you have people that might remind you of what that voice would sound like, if that makes sense.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. A little,
little
bit.
A little bit.
All right, well, anyway, should we get this going?
Let's do it.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Nostalgia Berry Podcast.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, that espresso, man, I got fired up.
Awesome.
I was dragging the day, but it's picked me up a little bit. So should I just start?
Yeah. Go for it, man.
Wait, another beer, I guess.
Excuse me.
Crunchy, crunch away.
This is the Crunchster. And now I'm good, I got a beer. And I'm doing the movie this week, and I picked one of my favorite movies, probably top, at least top 10, if not top
wow.
7 favorite
top
movies.
One.
Not saying it's the ones I think are the best, but, like, enjoyable to watch, seen it a number of times.
That's
no
what
lines.
Matters.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how you really judge
hated
movies.
It. What's that from, huh?
I know, that's very familiar.
Hated it.
That's a good guess.
In Living Color.
Yeah. This is from a lot of things, though.
I don't know. It was when they were giving reviews. It was like two gay dudes giving reviews.
Yes, that is true.
Hated it. And
both Wayne's brothers?
The Z-Snap.
Both Wayne's brothers?
No, it was Jim Carrey.
Oh, it was Jim Carrey. And Damon?
And Damon.
I definitely remember that.
Well, you don't realize how good of a segue that was. So, a movie I picked this week is a movie called Above the Rim. Basketball movie, 1994. Just tell you some of the people on the cast. So Dwayne Martin, who was, see, I knew it already.
Already there.
What?
Is that where the phrase Above the Rim came from, that movie?
No.
Oh, no? Okay.
No. I don't know, but I doubt it. There's no way. That's probably... Because
it's become a very common term. I'm
above
just curious.
The Rim?
Yeah.
That's just like
he
a
plays
basketball
above
term.
Yeah, I guess people talk about Michael Jordan in the 80s playing... Above the rim, right?
I talked about a lot of people playing above
okay.
the rim.
Sorry,
that's
sorry.
Like
me play above the rim.
I love when he interrupts for things that don't matter. I'm just fucking with you. Sorry, I'm making you more blue. You're going to be purple soon. You'll be a grape by the end of this. I apologize. So, some of the people in the movie, Dwayne Martin, who was a pretty popular actor in a lot of movies like this in the mid-90s. I think he was on... That show Kevin Hart has on BET recently, the Husbands of Hollywood Hills. You guys ever seen that show or heard
no.
about it?
I've heard about it. I've never seen it.
Pretty funny. Yeah, it's like the Hollywood, the Wives of Atlanta or whatever like that. It's exactly the same show, but it's a fake reality show with dudes. It's Kevin Hart,
it's
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Alan Thicke's son, Robin Thicke, is in it.
Hmm.
Then the other guys come and do a cameo. So I think Dwayne Martin is a character on there. So if people don't know who he is, I'm pretty sure he's on that show. Leon, just Leon, is a black actor. Again, he's in a ton of stuff in the 90s. He's in like 5 Heartbeats, The Temptations.
His name is Just Leon?
Just Leon. That was always his acting name. He's the main character in Cool Runnings is what you guys would remember him for.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one
I was just watching Cool Runnings today.
Yeah, he's the one that gets them all together and goes to John Candy. John Candy, like, coached his father, and that's how he knows to go to him to teach him.
Do you think he does a good accent in that movie?
None of those accents are good. No,
all right.
No, they're all like.
They sound good to me because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, they don't sound good at all. The
you
people.
What I read them. What put them? Yeah,
they're all.
Upset
they're all just generic. Like, I don't know.
You don't like that movie, right?
I loved it when I was a kid. Okay. It's okay. All
right.
It's okay, but it's like one of the movies. It'd be like a movie about Jews with no Jews in it.
There's no Jamaicans.
I'm not saying there's no Jamaicans, but...
No, all the main characters are not Jamaican.
They're not Jamaican. They might have some Jamaican lineage, but it's not like... I'm saying, it'd be like having a guy who's like 1/16th Jewish, but didn't grow up...
I would be so pissed by that.
Yeah. I'm not pissed by it. It's just like, it's all right. I get why they did it, but whatever. Tupac was in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, this is one of his... Juice was well before this. But I want to say... what's the one he did with Janet Jackson?
No idea.
I don't know.
Scream, the music video?
You guys don't know the movie Tupac and Janet Jackson did?
No.
You guys are totally feeding into why I chose this movie then.
Poetic Justice.
Poetic Justice, yes.
Oh, yeah. Boom. Sure. Yeah.
Poetic Justice.
Watching it.
Yeah, you are.
By knowing one movie?
Yep.
Yes!
Hey, that's a low bar. Crushing it.
It's more than you?
It's still not crushing
it. You only got to crush it once.
Well, yeah.
Fine. Cherry juice? But yeah, this is one of Tupac's early roles. Bernie Mac is in this movie. He's only in like 3 or 4 scenes, but he's a character in this movie. Marlon Wayans is in this movie, and this is kind of one of his first movies that like he was a comedic character, but it's not a comedy. He's like the comic relief, but he even has a couple of like really serious scenes in there. It's not just like slapstick, you know, parody jokes. Like he did in a lot of his other movies. And lastly, this is the first movie I remember with Wood Harris in it that I ever saw. You know who Wood Harris is? You guys have seen The Wire, right?
Yes.
Avon Barksdale.
Yeah, but I fucking knew that movie.
Okay.
That Woody Harrelson, he's in there.
Not Woody Harrelson.
Right? White Man Can't Jump. That's what we're talking
about. Well, that's what I thought at first. But then Crunchy
Harris
gave a good explanation.
Woody Harrelson.
Wood Harris.
Isn't that interesting that it's the same?
Well, that's what I think most... people who aren't familiar with his genre of music, I guess, would know him from. But he's also the main character in Paid in Full. The Rockefeller movie? No?
Is that the movie with Kevin Spacey in there and that little boy?
No.
Kevin Spacey's definitely not in any Rockefeller.
Yeah, he is. And you got to pay it forward?
No, that's Pay It Forward. God damn it.
Is he still crushing it?
In it.
Still crushing
still
it?
Crushing
just,
it.
No, now you're just...
all over the place.
You're getting crushed.
Getting crushed.
Yeah. By big pun. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Wood Harris is in. It's the first movie I knew him from. He's in Paid in Full. He's in a ton of movies. He's in, what's that movie he was in where he was like the cop? He's like a cop buddy movie. But he played like the other cops that are like the background ones, the main ones are fighting with. Anyway, doesn't matter. But he's one of my favorite characters in the movie. But I didn't know this was going to happen, but the other day I actually caught... Marlon Wayans on The Breakfast Club talking about this movie a little bit because of it was him and Tupac were boys and they were in this movie together and that's one of the reasons
Marlon Wayans is a boy with Tupac?
Well, so that's what he was kind of talking about because they all went to performing arts schools and Tupac went to a performing arts school as well. Did you not know that?
I did know that Tupac went to a performing arts school. I feel like there was some
battle
rap where he was getting criticized for that.
No, I don't even know battle rap. That's just a kind of a known thing. That's one of the reasons why he was able to...
I feel like that's why I knew it.
Oh, maybe. But, I mean, that's why he was in movies and why he was a good actor, because he was, like, trained in the arts.
He didn't get criticized for that. That's 8 Mile, Papa Doc. He's always talking about him.
You go to the private school?
Go back to a private school. That was that.
I haven't seen 8 Mile.
Whoa.
But to clarify, a private school and a performing arts school aren't quite the same thing.
Not even close.
Yeah, they're public performing
arts. Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Performing arts school is like Juilliard or something like that.
Yeah. But even that's like a bad example. I mean, like, my elementary school I grew up in, the district turned it into a performing arts focused school.
Yeah, New York City, like LaGuardia, is a performing arts school.
Okay. But it's a public school.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not, you don't pay a tuition or anything.
No, in an airport.
You have to get a special exam, which is like if you want to dance... you do a performance. If you want to do art, you submit a portfolio.
You try out.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and that's the kind of school Tupac went to. Yeah, so it was crazy.
I wonder what his dance was.
I think he went in for acting or poetry or something like that would be my guess. because this is going to end up being kind of my probably my Tupac episode a little bit. I'm going to talk about Tupac a little bit. But he was the reason why he was talking about this movie is because Tupac died 2 years after this, and Marlon was talking about how he saw Tupac on the night he died in Vegas, ran into him as they were leaving, you know, saw him, shook him up, and was like, hey, man, I'm going to, you know, stay. He said it was him and Omar Epps were hanging out, and they ran into Tupac, and you know, Omar Epps and Tupac famously did Juice together, so they knew each other. So they were like, oh, yeah, what's up, man? You know, holla at you tomorrow. And they still, and they, you know, they get home and they find out he's been fucking shot and how crazy that was. But just how much they used to clown on set, you know, because, so back to the movie a little bit, too. So the plot of the movie is Dwayne Martin plays this high school basketball star. He's the man kind of in the part of New York he's from. He has college recruiters coming to get him, or coming to recruit him early on in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really make sense. This is one of my slight criticisms of the movie. The basketball season is going on, but they're also about to have this like summer league tournament or some sort of tournament that was like a city tournament, but it was also why he was doing his basketball league in high school. So it didn't really make any sense. But anyway, so Leon went to this school as well when he was a kid. So their coach knows both of these boys. And he was also a high school phenom. And in the opening scene in the movie, he's on the rooftop playing basketball in this really, it was just the weirdest setup. They're like on top of a building playing basketball. I don't know why a basketball hoop is right next to the edge of a building. But him and his friend are playing each other. It's like his little kind of like nerdy sidekick friend. Yeah. And he's beating the crap out of him in a one-on-one game. And then he's like, man, I got $10. You can't get as high as me on the backboard. So he goes up, touches the backboard, and says, here, right here, what you got? So his friend goes up and smacks through the backboard and then flies forward off the edge of the building and he dies. It's not funny, but yeah. It's really stupid.
I did not think that was
going to happen. Neither did I.
That's how the movie opens. So that's the thing Leon is...
It's a cop comedy?
No, it's a drama.
So we just... And then he's really sad that he had this freak accident.
Yeah, so his character's name is Shep. Yeah, so he... Listen, he was like the man. He was a basketball phenom. He was supposed to be like the D1 player going to Georgetown or NYU or not NYU, Syracuse or whatever. He was like the guy. And then this happened where his best friend died and he felt responsible for it. So he kind of went into this spiral, stopped talking, stopped playing basketball. But you kind of have to infer a lot of this from the movie. Right. But so he walks away from basketball. He walks away from everything. And Tupac plays his brother. And their mom had this nervous breakdown after it because she couldn't take care of Shep. So she kind of slips into depression. And Tupac is the little brother. And is the only one. He steps up as the man and becomes the drug dealer. And pays for the house. And kind of becomes the man on the block. But does it in an illegal way. So they kind of then have this conflict where Tupac feels betrayed by his older brother. Because his older brother wasn't there when he felt like he should be. And Leon is like, but you're doing... You know, you're a criminal. You're not a good person with what you're doing. You're hurting people.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You're destroying the community. X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So it's kind of both a redemption story for Leon, for the Shep character, and also a coming-of-age story for this Kyle character, who's also the basketball player trying to, like, find his way in the world. He lives in a single-parent home. They never mention what happened to the father. You don't know if he's dead or just left or you don't know what happened to him. But single parent home, lives with his mom. And so in the beginning of the movie, Shep comes back to the neighborhood to reconnect with his family and he becomes a security guard at the school. The coach gets him a job. So he's like, I need you. He's trying to convince him he should be the basketball coach of the school because he thinks it'll help him and he thinks it'll help the school. He'll help this Kyle kid. He's kind of like trying to mix them together. You have to be a role model for this kid. It'll give this kid someone positive to look up to, and it'll give you some kind of purpose in your life. That's what the coach's kind of background goals are this whole time. So there's this interesting dynamic with the Tupac character. So Tupac is trying to recruit Kyle to play on his basketball team in this tournament they're having, on this street tournament they're having. And you know, he's trying to coax him with money and girls. He takes him up to a club. He's like showing him the life. Like, this is what you get when you're a baller like me. You can roll like this if you want. I got you. But it could potentially, you know, if college recruiters find out he's taking money from a drug dealer, it's going to ruin a lot of his chances.
Right.
So that's, again, another of the coach's motivation. So he kind of unwittingly puts the brothers against each other, kind of fighting for this kid's soul, basically. And going a little long about the movie. Anyway,
cool.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's you know, so it continues on with him struggling. Marlon Wayans is kind of Kyle's silly friend. Said he's like just got out of prison or juvie or whatever when they meet, and they're joking around, and he's the one who Birdie, Tupac's character, gets to join the team. He's like, hey, I'll slide you this money if you can get your boy on the team or whatever like that. Birdie Mac, I mentioned earlier, plays this homeless character that kind of lives around the area, and everyone kind of abuses him. And spoiler alert, Tupac kills him in the end.
What?
No threats found. Positive news.
Nice.
Ooh, that was a nice little sound effect. Yeah. I like that.
And we're back from Windows 10.
back from Windows 10. Anyway, well, let me just, like I said, if you want to watch the movie, you can go ahead and watch it. Let me just give you my three favorite scenes, and then we'll move on to kind of the themes I wanted to talk about. So one of my favorite scenes is in the beginning, the first time you see Kyle going to play basketball in the morning, and it was something I never had the self-discipline to follow it, but it shows him going through his morning routine to be an athlete. He wakes up at 6 a.m. before school. He does his push-ups, does his sit-ups, has a little weight bench in his room, lifting weights, you know, his little cheap weights, doing all his things, stretching, gets up, eats breakfast, goes straight to the basketball court. Him and his friends do killers on their own. They shoot around. They're working on their game. He's doing drills for himself. Like, he was this really motivated kid. He was like coaching himself, and I remember that was like always my thing I wanted to do in the summer, was spend my summers doing that every morning. I'd do it like twice and never get back to it. So then Flip's character, you know, Bernie Mac, walks around. He's just kind of being like a bum version of Bernie Mac you're thinking of right now. Same voice, same cadence, everything. And he challenges the kids to a game one-on-one for this thing called Bumps or Bunks or something like that, which they never showed it is, so I don't know what it is. I assume it's a New York term, but I don't know
what's it called again?
Bumps or Bunks or something like that. If you lose, you're supposed to grab the cage and they're like going to throw the ball at you or something like that.
Huh.
They never show it because every time it's about to happen, someone breaks it up.
It's like horse? Or it's like...
No, it's like a punishment if you lose the game.
Oh, it's not the name of the game.
No,
it's the name
no.
of the punishment.
It's like you play one-on-one, we play Got first it. One to five, I beat you, now you have to get up and I get to like throw the ball at your ass as hard as I want or something like that. They said they don't really...
The only thing we did similar to that, you guys might have done this too, is just like Suicide. You know that game?
No.
Where you just like throw a bouncy blue ball off a wall.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And
handball.
Yeah, and if it comes back to you and you mishandle it and you don't catch it off one bounce,
yeah, man,
you have to run to the wall. And then if someone throws the ball,
I never wanted.
Oh yeah, we did do that.
You,
yeah,
and then if you lose, you have to put your hands up against the wall and everyone gets a throw.
Fucking beam you.
We didn't do that part, but we did the other part.
Yeah, that's a thing similar to.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like this. Yeah. So okay, that maybe it is.
I sucked at that. I was so slow. Just a.
Yeah. Well, you got to be shorthanded. If you're like a good shortstop, you're really good at that game.
Yeah, it's a tall one. Stop. Really. Never worked.
That's the one skill
set. But Jeffrey!
I'll be here all week.
Hey. But yeah, but that's the first time we see Leon interact with Kyle. They're like, he's on the way to school, sees them abusing this guy who he used to play basketball with. And it's Bernie Mac's character, you find out. He stops them from giving him bumps. And they just like, fuck it, whatever. They leave and walk into school. And then they run into each other again back at school. Because the Bernie Mac character's like, Shep, is that you, man? I ain't seen you in years. You back here, man? We needed you to come back. You know, like, so excited to see him. And he's just still kind of like melancholy. Is melancholy the right word? Depressed?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, he's just kind of down and... it's just kind of like, yeah, man, whatever, go live your life, man, be all right. So that's one of my favorite scenes, because it both was like some inspiration I had to be a better basketball player, because at the time, basketball was a huge part of my life. And
so how old were you when you saw the movie?
I probably saw it 3 or 4 years after it came out, but I was in middle school. I mean, it was like I said, it was a movie I watched a lot, so I watched it between like 7th to 10th grade.
Got it.
This was like a movie I would watch but alone. I would watch it with friends. We would quote it. We had all of our favorite scenes. We would reenact stuff. Like, this was one of our movies, one of my movies. The next favorite scene of mine, and it was always just funny to me. I don't even know why it's in the movie, but there's a scene where they're driving around with Wood Harris's character, who's like the enforcer of Tupac's group. He's kind of like the rugged guy, don't give a fuck. And this is the scene kind of where you realize that. They're just driving around in a car, and he's telling these guys, man, you gotta be motherfucking soldiers out here. You can't be soft. Because they're like, Mother Wade just is cracking jokes and they're laughing about something. And he's like, man, what the fuck is wrong with y'all, man? We out here doing work right now. And then he just tells him, he hits him, tells him to pull over. And he just runs up on two guys and is like, yeah, man, what's up? Man, I need to run it. And they give him some money, knocks out one of them. He's like, motherfucker, don't ever hold it on me again. And they're all just looking like, damn, what the fuck is going on? He comes back, gets in the car. He's like, see, that's how you hit a business, motherfucker. God damn it. I'm a soldier, motherfucker. Y'all over here acting soft, man. You gotta be a soldier out here. And Marlon Wade just looks at him and said, man, you need a role model, a hug, something like that.
You need a hug.
Just funny. It was just a funny scene. I just liked it because it was like this dark scene that like Marlon Wade was able to like still make kind of light. And then the last scene, I mean, so is this the first sports movie we're doing? It might be, huh?
I can't think of another one.
Yeah, sports movies are always so tricky because it's hard to film sports because sports in real life are so...
Stopped.
Oh, it did stop. No, it didn't.
It definitely froze.
We're good.
Yeah, we can re-listen to it.
We're in the new studio here, the backup studio, so still working
with a backup computer.
With a backup computer. Yeah. Still working on technical issues.
Yeah, so sorry if there's a bump.
We got Dink Dingleberry barking in the background. I'm sure the listeners have heard that.
Dingleberry or Dingleberry?
Dinkle.
Is this the Dingleberry hanging off Peter Dinklage? Is that why it's the Dingleberry?
Ooh. Dinklage.
I heard.
A good movie.
Which movie?
Just Friends. Is that what you're referencing?
No. I'm just going to tell you guys, I'm not going to always be referencing something. Not everything I say is a reference.
I mean, that was Dingleberry is from that movie, Just Friends. Dinkle.
Sure, I don't know.
Just so you know, everything I say is referencing something. Sorry.
So I got him in the middle.
Get your own comedy, man. But anyway, so, you know, sports movies are always tough to film because, they're so free-flowing in real life, and it's hard to, like, recreate that same feeling. So the last scene of the movie, as you would guess, at least the last major scene, is, I guess it's not the last, but it's the last major scene, is the tournament that they all play in.
Sure.
And, they, so the Kyle Lowry character, or not Kyle Lowry, Kyle Lee, the Dwayne Martin, Dwayne Martin's character, he decides to go play for his coach's team instead of playing for Tupac's team. So he plays with, like, his high school friends and some of, like, the old guys that used to play for the high school against, like, all the kind of thugs that Tupac has recruited around the area. And they meet each other in the championship game, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
The Leon Shepp character, that's the game they decide. So he walks up there in jeans and, like, a sweater, and they just put a jersey over him. And he just starts playing, like the most incredible game
ever. In jeans and a sweater?
Yeah. Because he's just, like... So there's a couple scenes throughout here where, because they always talk about it, he was like this legend in this neighborhood. He was like the man in basketball.
Where does it take place?
Somewhere in New York. I guess. Okay. I don't know.
They don't reference it at all?
They probably do, but I don't know. Okay. I didn't watch it before. This is all from memory right now. So I don't remember, to be honest. But there's a couple scenes where like he kind of says he doesn't want to play basketball ever again because it just makes him think about when he killed his friend by telling him to touch the top of the backboard.
It's a plot device. What can you say?
But it's the stupid. I get why they did it, but it is kind of stupid. Not even kind of. It's pretty stupid. But so people would walk by at night. A couple of the characters, and we would walk by at night, and he would be at the park by himself, pretending to play basketball against his friend, talking shit to him and doing crazy. And Dwayne Martin meets him one night, and they have this exchange, and it's kind of like when they finally have this like understanding. Because I didn't mention this, Shep ends up dating his mom. Which
his own mom?
No. Oh. The Kyle's mom, the kid. So the Leon character dates Dwayne Martin's character's mom.
Yeah.
And he gets jealous of that because he's already, his first interaction was him like stopping him from bullying Bernie Mac's character. So he already didn't like him. And then his coach is telling him how this used to be the guy. You should listen to this guy. And he's kind of like how I was. I didn't have a dad. And the last thing I wanted was one of my male role models telling me this is the male role model I needed to listen to.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he didn't really like this guy. He was really jealous of him. Cause, you know, he was his mom's only man in the life for most of his life. So he was really jealous of their relationship. So this scene, they have this understanding.
Oedipus style?
Oedipus.
Did I say that? Oedipus complex, yeah. Where you kill your father and...
Mm. Yeah, because your first love is
your mother.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's that line of thinking, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
I'm shooting.
But anyway, so then he knows he's good. He finally joins the team at the end in the last scene. And right away, Wood Harris' character just fucking elbows him. Because, of course, they're playing dirty. Of course, it's the ruffian right, thing. And they right. wear the black jerseys, of course, because they're the bad guys. They're pushing everybody and elbowing people, not getting fouls.
Like on Mighty Ducks. They wear black jerseys there, too.
They do. I was going to say more like when you elbowed me in the face. It was kind of like that.
That wasn't me playing dirty. That's just regular play.
That was just how you play. That's
Jeffrey is a beast on the court. Yeah. It's a well-known fact.
You throwing them bowls
well
like
known
I've been keeping them in. I've been keeping them in lately.
Just a chicken wing. Somebody
razor elbows.
Yeah.
Get that sharp elbows.
Yeah, so he elbows Leon's character right away, and then Leon gets, kind of walks it off, and he gets up again after it happens another time, pushes him back, and then everyone else is just dunking and hitting threes, basically, but mostly dunking. There's, like, all the points in this entire tournament are dunks. Yeah, it's like how they film it. And then, of course,
like you play.
But this is how, Leon, he had the old man game. He's coming off screens, catching the 12-foot jump shot on the elbow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's just hitting that. And then, of course, he gets a couple dunks and stuff. Takes over, they come back, and they win. But again, it's just such, like, there's even, like, some scenes where you can tell they use the same scene twice. They use the same reaction. And then they have this comeback victory. They came back from being down by, like, 20 is what they make it seem like. They win. And the reaction from everybody on the court is so, like, blah. The coach is just like, yeah! Couple claps. He's not shouting. He's not screaming. He doesn't go hug anybody. They're all just like, yeah! We won. It's over with. There was no, like, excitement. Yeah. Nothing at the end. It was a really weird scene, yeah. And then at the end, of course, because Leon and Kyle came back, or Shep came back, and they won the game. Tupac's like, of course, you've got to kill these guys now. So when Harris goes, gets a gun, runs up to them, the Leon character jumps and pushes him out the way and takes it in the shoulder. The cops come and just gun the guy down, basically, and drop the gun. And then it ends with a scene. I still use this scene. I even have told you this before, Jeffrey, when we've gone and played basketball. This is how I teach how to shoot. It's how I remember to get my shot going. There's a scene where Shep teaches him, the Kyle character is missing a bunch of shots. He has a bad game.
Yeah.
And he says, hey man, keep your elbows straight, spread your fingers, pop your wrist. Spread your fingers, pop your wrist. And that was like a key lesson he taught him that he didn't want to accept. So then at the end of the movie, their character gets shot.
Spread your fingers.
Yeah, so you get more control of the ball.
Huh.
So right after that, they go to this little mini scene where Marlon Wayans' character comes and kills Tupac in the club and does like revenge. And then they go to the end where it's Kyle playing for Georgetown, which is like his dream school. It's the end of the conference finals. They're down by 2 points. They set up the play for him. He comes off a screen, hits the shot. They win the game. They interview him at the end, and he's like, they're like, what were you thinking? He's like, oh, I was just thinking, spread my fingers, pop my wrist. And then they cut, and Leon character's hugging his mom. It's, we're all a big happy family. Wraps up nice. And then the song The Regulator plays.
Regulators!
Yeah, that was like one of the big songs.
But you don't love that song, right?
Warren G and Nate Dogg?
Yeah. I thought we talked about that before. I don't know. I love that song. I'm obsessed with that song.
I'm not a huge fan of Warren G. Right, okay, I love Nate Dogg, but Warren G's okay. No, I just said it's kind of a weird song. Like, it's... I don't feel like songs like that, especially at that time, existed, and they don't exist a lot now. Like, that wasn't a song about jacking somebody. That was a song about getting jacked.
No, it's not. You're right.
Warren G's whole part of his song is about, yeah. Like,
so that was from that soundtrack, in addition to
the... I don't know. It was just on the soundtrack. It doesn't sound like it was from the movie, though.
But it was on the movie soundtrack. Yeah, I mean, like, the you could buy the album
it,
of a Bubba.
I don't know. It was in the movie.
Probably.
The soundtrack of the movie, not necessarily the soundtrack album.
Yeah, okay.
Is what it seemed like to me. When I was looking up the... Because my favorite... maybe not favorite. Probably my second favorite Tupac song is a hidden track on the CD that I read because it didn't fit on the CD back then. The CD was had too many songs on it. So they had to put it as a hidden track on the cassette tape or something like that. So... which I'm going to talk later, and it's going to be on the end of this podcast is the song I'm going to do. But so the theme we kind of talked about was summer lessons. How did this connect to summer lessons? So I mentioned before that like basketball was a humongous part of my life. Actually, before I get into this, do you guys want to react to anything I said about the movie itself?
No.
It sounds like a good I just want to say that it was a movie that I was always aware of, and it was a movie I always felt like I should have watched.
Yeah.
And I think you did a good job of summarizing the plot. I would say that it doesn't, it's kind of like sort of what I expected it would be.
Yeah. I said it's one of those
But movies. More people in it than I would have thought. Like, there's a, sounds like there's a ton of people who later had really big careers.
This is kind of it. But, I mean, it's one of them. It's like all movies from the past. I mean, there's always lots of people in them because that's how you get lots of people in them. You get them before they're people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when they're Leon was probably the big... Like, he's the actual star of the movie, even though it's mostly about Dwayne Martin's character. Like, Tupac is a side character. Bernie Mac is barely in it. This is like, you know, Samuel Jackson is in fucking everything, but he's in Juice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's not, like, a main character in Juice. He's just, like, a side character.
Yeah.
Weird, because I'm talking about it. I don't want to forget it. You guys ever watch the show Ghost Rider?
No, we talked about this before. I didn't know about
you
it.
You didn't know about it. Do you know that
show? My brother was a huge fan of that show. I don't think I ever watched it.
Do you know what it's about, though?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so it's about some kids in New York. They meet this ghost. They have these pens, and they solve crimes by exchanging letters. They'd write something
Was it on PBS?
Yeah, the ghost would read the letter and then give it out, and they would solve crimes. Anyway, so I was downloading that to show it to my kids, because sometimes I like showing them my old stuff, just because it's the only educational stuff I know about. I downloaded it. Samuel Jackson was the fucking dad on that show.
Wow.
Blew my fucking mind. Wow. Yeah. I was like, that's random as hell. And that had to be around the same time he was doing, like, he was about to do, like, Pulp Fiction and shit. Like, he really is just in everything. Yeah. But anyway, okay, so as I was saying about the theme, so it's summer theme. So basketball is a big, big part of my childhood. At the risk of sounding like one of those, like, back in my day, I was the best athlete ever.
Already
like,
there.
Yeah, one of those guys, like, it didn't fucking matter because it didn't happen when it mattered. But, that scene, that first, one of my first favorite scenes when I was talking about, it's working. And that scene when I was talking about with, where he was, what are you doing? Oh, where he was, training every day to play basketball. Like, that was what I felt like I always lacked. Was
training every day?
Just having the motivation to train myself.
Discipline?
The is that a word? Yeah, that's the exact word. Having the self-discipline to do that myself. So I was kind of looked up to that that character. But when I was in 7th and 8th grade, I was kind of in a predicament similar to the Kyle character. I had the choice of playing for two of the top teams in AAU basketball that year. I could have played for the Minnesota Magic, which at the time in Minnesota had like all of the top players in the state played on the Magic A-team. And I had played with that organization the year before on the B-team. I was like the best player on the B-team. And the guy who ran it really liked me. My mom had said he might leave, and he was like, I will put him on the gold team, which was the A-team. I will put him on this team if he stays because I want him to be a part of my organization. So that was one offer. And then the other offer was from this dudes that were rivals with me. They had a team called the Jaguars with, like, you know, a coach was from Chicago, rough dude, old school. You know, he used to be in, like, the Blackstones, which is, like, a real kind of old school Chicago gang.
Hmm. What's it called? The Blackstones?
Blackstones, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's
a regional gang?
Blackstone. Yeah, it was a very much a regional gang. But he was very, like, he was like a nigga. When you think of the word nigga, like, he was a nigga. He had no, he's successful, he's a good dude, and I'm like, I'm not taking away there, but he was just, you know, kind of, the way he handled himself was kind of niggerish. And, and they had the better jerseys. They had these dope-ass black jerseys with the yellow trim. And at the time, they have a tight jersey. Like, it was very expensive to have good jerseys back then. Most of our jerseys were those, like, reversible ones.
You know,
you could pull them up, and they were double-sided.
My friends who played AAU all had jerseys exactly like that.
Well, that's what everybody had, partially because when you would travel, especially, you don't know what color jerseys people are going to have. You had the option to change colors quickly. One team always had to be white because you're not dealing with, you know, professional referees. These are all amateur referees at that. So I had the choice between playing on the premier.
I'm sorry. So you had to make a big decision, right?
So I had a big decision.
How old were you at this point?
I was 14.
So just starting high school?
No, I guess I was 13.
So 8th grade?
13.
Okay.
Yeah, because so high school for me was 10th grade. Because I went to a junior high, just like you did. Okay, so I was, and I was older for my grade as well. So I was 16 when I was a sophomore. I was 18 when I graduated.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, so
I was 18 when I graduated.
I was 17, but just because my birthday is late in the year.
You got July birthday?
September.
Yeah, mine's in July, but
your parents, they chose you to start what, early?
I was one of the younger kids in my class.
Yeah. See, I could have been younger, a year older, or I could have been older.
This makes a difference. I feel like it's a big decision.
It is a very big decision.
You're actually just, you're generally more mature if you start, if you're that earlier kid or not.
I was always jealous of the kids whose birthday was in January because they were always a bit older, and when puberty hits, they, you know.
It hits.
They're a bit above, you know.
That's also a lot genetic too, and has nothing to do with when you start school.
Good point.
I do think it is a pretty big decision, but it is one of the things. It evens out in the end, so it's probably by the end of.
But you can't see
point.
That.
Yeah, but it's, yo, it's those. It is a moot point, but it's there's been studies about that. It was a study about how the kids that are more developed, not only they're more developed cognitively, and then they get into a lesson because they have that higher cognitive development level. They do better, and then by doing better, their confidence is higher than the students who are less.
That's kind of what I was mature. But I want to get back to Crunchy's getting to the crux of the summer lesson here.
Right. So I was either going to play for like the best premier team or this team that was a little rough. We were still one of the better teams in all of Minnesota, but I ended up going with the team with the better jerseys, specifically because...
The Jaguars.
Because I was like, they're going to be the same. It's not really going to matter. And then, of course, it totally mattered. So the guy that they had gotten, that he had gotten to be our coach, came, like, drunk to every game.
Nice.
Like, was really drunk before we went on a trip in St. Cloud. Yeah. Went to a tournament in St. Cloud for the weekend, where Jeffrey went to school. Well, yeah, we played at the university. Because they have the big campus with, you know, they have like 8 courts in one building. So I don't even know if they have those in New York. You know, like a sports complex.
We have Chelsea Piers, Basketball City. That's a lot of basketball courts.
Okay,
in Manhattan.
And
it's
they just
rare.
Have those,
it's
like,
rare.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was like, he was drunk. And they ended up, one of the other dads ended up kicking him off. I'm like, nah, man, you're not coaching. It ended up being a fucking traumatic experience. Like, it was really fucking disorganized. It was a little too hood. Learned a lot about gangs and that.
Hood.
Yeah, man, I learned a lot about gangs. What? Okay, so then the guy who ended up being our coach is this Mexican dude who son played on the team. Well, I actually knew. I kind of grew. You actually might even know him. I'll tell you his name off air, but you might actually know who he is. I feel like you do.
Butkus.
They had a. I'm not even told all of you guys this before. They had a sleepover where the whole team ended up spending the night with an early game the next morning. So we all went to their house, and of course they had pirated cable. My mom came over and she was drinking tequila. My mom's pretty. She's not conservative, but she didn't. You know.
Yeah.
She knows we would do stuff, but she's not like condoning it or doing it with us. She just kind of looks the other way.
That's cool.
She really liked her and the mom got together really well. After a while, so they were drinking tequila and hanging out while all of us boys were in the living room. Before they left, they had a Spice Channel. We're all sitting there together watching Spice Channel. His daughter was there with a friend watching the Spice Channel with us.
How old are all you kids at this point?
13, right?
13, 14.
That's the time when the Spice Channel is as just the peak of its allure.
When, again, we mentioned before, like, this was kind of before, like, internet porn was like a thing. Like, if I was watching internet porn, I was looking at pictures. I wasn't watching video.
Yeah.
We couldn't do video.
And you had to wait a
still
little
a dial-up
for
cable.
The pictures to slowly come in.
That was why you printed them, because then you had access to them. I got, fucked
you have
up.
That inkjet color printer.
Because you fuck up the color. They'd be like, why is all that color ink? And you can't be like, I was printing up.
No, you get those, like, that green and white paper where it's just like zeros and ones, just boobs on there.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
About right old school.
The old school printer? It's just, you get
you have,
the
like,
dot,
the things
yeah,
on
I know,
the side.
What
the
dials?
It was a joke. You don't print out zero and
dot
one.
Dot matrix?
Then.
No, I guarantee you there was. Because you could make those things into shapes.
It's like calculators.
Now
yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
I know what you're
talking about. 08.
Yeah, so I chose it. It was one of the worst decisions I probably ever made in basketball. And then the following year, I was like, I'm not making that decision again. And I did play on the Minnesota Gold team, and it ended up being a wonderful experience. But one of my best friends from basketball, we went to school together, but we always played on different teams. His name was Chase. And
Mace Windu.
And he said to me one day when I chose to be on the Jaguars, we were all in the same tournament, and there's this scene in the movie Above the Rim where the Kyle character decides to play on the other team, and he runs into Tupac's character in like the tent where it's kind of like the locker room for everybody to play, and he wishes him good luck, kind of like, you know, like scared, like, hey,
good luck
birdie. And Tupac looks at him and says, hey man, I'm a win, don't remember, just because you're on someone else's team, you play for me. And so my friend Chase said that to me before a game, and it fucking pissed me off so much because he actually was able to use it on me. And then they beat us by like 50 points. Like, AAU game scores are the most ridiculous scores ever. We beat some teams when I played on the gold team by like 80 and 90 points. We scored like 124 points in, you know, 4-minute quarters of like 6 minutes apiece. Yeah. And we would score 124 points on teams to like 14.
Yeah.
You know? Ridiculous scores. So yeah, so they ended up beating the shit out of us. And I then ended up playing with that team. And then I fucked up because I didn't get a lot of playing time. So then the next year, I was like, I'll stay with the organization, but I don't want to be in the gold team because I want to play. And I think
down.
I mentioned
you
the
fucking.
So I went down a little bit. I just played for another guy that I knew that kind of recruited me. I was like, I'll get a lot of playing time. I'll get my shine. I'll be able to stand out. I'll be able to stand out.
Above the crowd. Yeah. That is going to be a theme song for this podcast for a long time.
And I didn't play on the gold team, and then Flip Saunders' son joined that team.
Yeah,
and Flip
yeah.
Saunders fucking would come to the games, he coached them, helped pay for them to go to national tournaments,
man.
Got the team jerseys.
Could
I just could never make the right decision, and I always feel like looking back, like, so the lesson I learned, the summer lesson that I learned was that, and this is actually interesting with Herschel being in my life now, because one of the ways we've become friends recently is playing strategy games. And I fucking suck at playing these strategy games. And part of the reason I think I suck at them is because I can't see long term.
Mm, the long game.
It's so hard game. For me to say the long game. You're going to bring that up?
No.
It's so hard for me to bring up, it's so hard for me to see the what's going to happen in the future. So, and that's where I fucked up. I made the choices. I said, oh, the jerseys are going to be cool now. Not playing on this team is going to give me the political basketball relationships, get the right people looking at me so that when I'm in high school, those people are still going to be in contact with me. It's going to get me into college. And it's one of the biggest lessons I learned.
So, podcast gold here. Exchanging silent messages.
That's not on the podcast.
Definitely not
on
the podcast. Definitely not
private.
Okay, so I like the summer lesson.
Okay,
and what I want to ask you to get a little deeper into this is, it sounded like the first time when you made the decision to join the Jaguars.
Yeah,
it was you being a child. and not thinking about priorities.
Yes.
But the second time, it seems like you made a rational decision that almost showed your maturity from the previous year, and yet the second lesson is slightly different because it's like a life lesson of sometimes you make the rational decision and just the randomness of life still fucks you over.
Yeah. And it didn't totally fuck me over. I learned a ton playing on that gold team, even though I didn't get the playing time that I thought. I got a lot of respect from being on that team because people saw me on that team around Minnesota. So they would either be pissed that I was on the team because they didn't think I was good enough and they didn't think I should have been on that team. I should have had his spot.
Dude, I got that same... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. When I was on the select team, there was another kid who was also on... When I played in, like, the... You know, the summer league, whatever, they had it, like...
AAU?
Yeah, it was AAU team.
That's what I'm talking about.
So
yeah.
I was on that league for Maple Grove.
Yeah.
And, or... I was on Osceola for middle school, and then when I, like, at 9th grade, 10th grade, I was in Maple Grove.
Yeah.
And when I went on that select team, one of my teammates was, like, he tried out in the same thing, and I got on.
Yeah.
He was clearly better.
Yeah.
But I was just bigger and more aggressive than he was.
And the coaches...
There wasn't a spot for him on the team.
That's the thing, and you don't realize... You know, I realize now coaches had to make decisions. That might have been a better point guard that was better... He might have been an overall better player than me, but they didn't need another point guard. They had three point guards already. They needed another guy inside, and that's why I...
Yeah.
Fit in where I fit in. They needed somebody that the big guy could go on
In
practice. Yeah, it's those decisions are made. And I do feel like I did learn, but I kind of still, again, in retrospect, I still then was like, well, I want playing time. I feel like this will work. So I did try to make a more rational decision.
Yeah.
But then, you know, in hindsight, it's always 20/20. But I, looking back on it now, like, I missed an opportunity to be around one of the most respected NBA coaches ever.
Yeah. But there's no way you could have anticipated
that. Part of the reason I didn't want to be on the team is because I didn't like his son that much. I kind of knew he was going to be around, but I didn't know he was going to be at, like, Flip was going to be involved.
Yeah.
Again, that was the season they went to the Western Conference Finals. Like, it was in the height of his success as well.
That would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing, you know. And it would have kept – that's the big thing I think I look back on. And because I always got to go back to not having a dad is – I remember my mom saying this to me in high school – is she always felt like she would get frustrated because then when I was in high school, again, because I wasn't on those teams, then the high school coaches wouldn't look at me first, so I had to work really hard to try to get playing time. And my senior year, we switched coaches, and he didn't like me because he didn't think I was tall enough. He just kind of put me on the team because the other coach was going to put me on the team. And these were like, when I was a kid, I went to these high school summer camps every year when I was in like elementary school, and it was like my dream to play for this coach, and his assistant coach ended up being the varsity coach when I was a junior. Yeah.
No, I want you to finish your sentence.
Oh, so when I was a junior, and when I tried out for the team, he was like, I remember going in, he took us all, we had us all wait in the locker room, when I was like he whittled it down to the last like 15, and I was... or 25 or whatever it was, and I was in there, and they made us hang out in the locker room and go in one by one for a sit-down meeting with all of the coaching staff, and
Whoa.
That was when they told you whether you made it or not.
That's high pressure.
Man, so we're all sitting around. Down. Whatever. I've known you since you're a kid. I've always been excited about you coming through and playing for me, and, you know, we like where your game's at, and we think you're going to do a lot for us next year. Now my heart
next
sunk.
Year. Next year.
Like, fuck. And he
you're
was like...
fucking muff cabbage.
And he goes, but... I want you on the team right now. So he totally fucked me over. I went from my heart being in my feet.
It's like a reality TV show.
It was. To being sky high. I was so excited. I was so happy. So anyways, I love this guy. He really supported me. But the head coach that he had worked for when I was going to all these summer camps didn't feel the same way about me, which I didn't know until I made the team next year.
Yeah.
And he told me before the season started, you're not good enough to be on the team. I don't want you, but I will put you on the team. Do you want to be on the team knowing you're not going to play? And I was in my mind, I was like,
"No, you're not gonna play."
In my mind, I was like, "I'm gonna force him to make me play." And then I had one of my best practices ever. I went and I like everybody on the team tried to guard me. I was just on fire. I get these zones where I just can't miss, and I still get into them. And I hit like 8 threes in a row. Like I was just balling out of control. Nobody could stop me. And this is right before we were about to play one of the best teams in the state. So everyone's giving me dap. Everyone's so proud of me. You know, telling me, "Hey, this is what I should be playing." Blah 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 blah. Crunchy should be playing.
Nice.
Blah, 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 blah.
Nicely done.
And
what time is that? 49?
Yeah. And coach comes up to me after practice. Coach comes up to me after practice and shakes my hand, looks me in the face, and goes, "I don't like you doing that to my team. Stop being so good in practice," or something like that. He kind of said it with a smirk on his face, but I was kind of like, it wasn't like, "Good job. I need more of this from you." It was like, "You're making my decision look bad. You're making me look bad. Don't ever do that again. Don't be good because I told you you weren't good. I told everyone else you weren't
good.
Fuck
you."
Yeah. So then I was like, "Fuck you," and it kind of fucked over my final year in basketball, which is a...
You said fuck you?
Nah, I really wanted to, though. There's a big regret I had that I didn't say fuck you, or I didn't transfer schools. Go play for some other guy. Or that coach got fired. It was crazy. I'll tell you guys that whole story some other time. And maybe at our break, because that year was crazy. I feel like I got off track a little bit. But anyway, I made this... That's why.
Okay! Wait, what?
Okay, sorry about that. So,
testicular difficulties.
Lots of testicular difficulties these days. Not that hard. Anyway, so I've been rambling.
They get
on
twisted.
For a bit.
They get twisted. Is that the testicular difficulties?
That's definitely not what happens. That's the
they get
Jew
caught.
Thing.
They get caught in the.
Oh, okay.
Why is that a Jew thing?
I don't know, because you said you have long balls.
I did say that before. Did I say that on the podcast?
You said that several times.
Not several times.
So I did have another theme I wanted to get into, but before I do that, I want you guys to, if you want to touch on summer lessons now, or are you guys going to get to them when you talk about your topic this week? Would you like to save them?
I mean, we can just save it. I mean, I guess the only thing that I had that was similar was you had said that, much like in the movie, you were playing a game and somebody said this something to you and it kind of threw you off a game.
Yeah.
I had a similar story. When
it didn't throw me off my game. It was more just like funny because he referenced the movie like what we do constantly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had a similar game where they like we were going up to shake hands before the game and like the other center or forward who was jumping went to shake my hand and I just looked at him just fucking dead-eyed and did not shake that motherfucker's hand.
Yeah.
Threw him off his game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to get into a lot of like
mind games.
Not fights, but scuffles playing basketball.
I mean, I'm telling you, that double foul, that's my favorite fucking foul.
Yeah.
Double foul.
I used to talk a lot of shit. That was one of the things I actually learned from that goal team, was the best way to talk shit when you can't get in trouble for it. There was this kid on the team whose brother would come. I don't know, he was the coolest motherfucker. Had a fucking pager still, always came with his hat backwards. He would rarely ever come. This was the brother of one of the kids who was kind of like a troubled kid, some people would say. Like, his parents never came, culturally had to come pick him up. When his brother came, he would just talk shit to the other team the entire game. He would just be like, "Man, they can't guard you. Number two, man, you can't guard you." He wouldn't say he's trash. But he just said he ain't getting it. No, he ain't making that. Get that rebound, rebound, rebound. Every time they get the ball, whole game. So I was like, man, this shit is cool and it works. So then I would do that all game. You're just bigging up your teammate so much that it's annoying to the other team. Mm.
Box out the shooter.
Easy. That's money. Money all day. All day. All day. Layup all day. He ain't stopping you. No one's stopping you. Keep going. All day. That shit pisses people off. I hate hearing that shit. I was like, all day. Fuck you. You ain't scoring on me.
Yeah. Hey, that's all I wanted to share about that.
Alright.
Herschel's
over here. Oh, it was like the dingleberry was in your dingleberry for a second there.
Yep. But should we take a Windows 10?
I had something else I wanted to talk about. I know it's getting long, but is this something you wanted to...
No, I just thought that the thing that I was most interested in was... the talking about masculine role models with your coach.
Yeah.
And how that tied into your summer lessons.
Yeah.
And also that connected with your decision-making.
Mm.
And learning about decision-making and how that's connected with when you're young and impressionable, observing, in this case, masculine role models. That's also what I'm going to talk about later.
Okay.
And how those two things are connected. And
right.
I thought that was really interesting.
No, I think you're very right. And
One more thing. So those two things. So decision-making and masculine role models. And I also just feel like I really connect with you because your father was not around because he passed away when you were very young. And even though my situation is completely different, the overlap is that when my father came out as transgendered, I was already in my early 20s.
Right.
But then looking back on my middle school and high school years, the same period you're talking about, I realized that I was also looking for a masculine role model. Because even though I had a father, actually my father had a female identity that was not being expressed.
Yeah.
And I realized that actually in some of my dealings, I was also kind of... So I just really connect with you on that point.
Well, I think that's a pretty common feeling, whether you have it or... Whether you have a father or mother or not, I guess it could go one way or the other. It doesn't really matter.
But I think for girls, it's more maybe more the mother, and what we're talking about here is the...
No idea. I think it's totally dependent upon who you are, but I do think the looking for other role models when you're a teenager is kind of a big thing, because to go back to a movie we've talked about before, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I mean, that is what they were... that's what the Foot Clan is exploiting in that scene where they're showing the kids the skateboards and the video games and the cigarettes and everything like that, because the Danny character in that had a father.
Yeah.
He had actually a really good home life. His dad took care of him, had a good job, like, he had a really good home life. The mother just wasn't around, but he still wanted something different, because teenagers battle.
That's right.
We'd like to
rebellion.
Battle something. All right, okay, so I had one last theme, and this is a... It's a bigger theme about kind of our three relationship, and something that I've kind of picked up on when I'm re-listening to some of these podcasts and hearing you guys talk about some of the main characters and some of the movies specifically. This is, I'm about to say, maybe my favorite. I've been waiting to say this all week. This specific sentence right here. All right. This is my problem with Jews.
Nice.
Specifically American Jews. This is what they do that frustrates me. They always want to claim to be...
I did.
Especially compared to this movie. They always want to claim to be like the outsiders.
All right.
Like they are the most hated on people in history. They're the most like... Everybody is always against the Jews.
Yeah.
But they get to connect to a movie like Goofy Movie and see themselves in Max and not even think about how other people in other cultures might not relate to it. You guys get to watch Big and see, say, Tom Hanks, and this is the dream of every boy. Where I said that, not for me, none of my friends. We were watching Above the Rim wishing we were Tupac. We weren't watching Big wishing.
Is that Jews or all white people? Oh, you're saying that we try to have it both ways.
Yes, you try to claim that you are both like the minorities and you are as oppressed, like that the Holocaust is the exact same thing as slavery, but also you get to be part of mainstream.
I don't think Jews say that.
I'm not saying it's... I'm
Jews do not say that.
I'm being superlative.
I'm running off on you. Beware.
I have heard people claim stuff like that.
I'm not
that.
Saying no one's ever said it.
Yeah. Maybe you don't say that, but I have heard people say it. But yeah, they try to have it both ways. They both want to be like the oppressed minority, but then also don't realize that they... It's kind of like why black people get upset when the gay rights movement is equated to the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because gays, maybe they don't want to hide who they are, but they can hide who they are. Where if you look like... I'm trying to think of somebody dark as fuck. If you look like Manute Bold.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Or an Indian or whatever. Yeah, you can't, like, not blend in. Like, I'm kind of unique in that because I'm mixed. So I am able to float a little bit more than most black people. But I don't feel like I look white enough for it to really... I just look like a different minority that wants to get oppressed in a different way.
Yeah.
Dominicano, man.
Yeah. So, like, to me, when you guys...
Dominican crunching, man.
That's not bad.
I don't even know how to... play off of that. Sorry.
There's
something that should be done, but I don't know what it is. But like, so when you guys were talking about Big and kind of chastising me and couldn't believe that I couldn't see it, that I hadn't seen it before, like, that's how I feel when I say a movie like this and you guys are both like, I've never seen it.
Or, I've seen this movie.
I know, but it wasn't like the same type of way you saw it the way I saw it.
That's good.
Is what I'm saying. That's you good. Know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so... And I think it's something that's going to end up coming more, and I think that's kind of what I see my role as in this podcast, is trying to bring things... Like, I want to be careful here, because I don't want to act like I'm the black representative, and everything I say is, like, representative.
You're the black delegation?
Yeah.
I did not make the reference.
That was a pretty good impression. But yeah,
That's most deaf.
I don't want to be most deaf making fucking racial drafts right now. But yeah, I think it's something that's going to come up, especially with my choices, where you guys are going to have not seen it and think I'm... And you guys are going to pick movies that you're going to think I'm crazy for not having seen. Well, because I was watching this instead. I was watching, you know, Menace to Society instead of watching...
Scream.
Not even Scream. I was going to say Schindler's List.
I picked up on... That is part of the movie that I was thinking of.
Oh, really?
You were thinking the original Menace to Society. I was thinking of the Wayans brothers.
Oh, no, hold on. Menace. That's my point, though, yeah.
You're right.
That's kind
but
of
you see
my
how
point.
I said Scream. That's why
even,
I said Scream.
Because here's the thing. I really want you guys to watch Don't Be a Menace. It's a great movie. I know what you meant. Yeah. I
fucked that whole thing up.
I really want you guys to watch Don't Be a Menace. Because it's one of
I should have seen it.
But I don't know if you'll get it because it's a parody movie about a bunch of movies that I don't know if you've seen. Because even that's why I ended up seeing some of those movies was because I wanted to understand the references.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, that was all I wanted to bring up. Any reactions? Well, you guys are posting.
I just found that very honest and what's it called? Well-intentioned. I was worried because you started off by saying, this is why I don't like Jews. But then actually, you expressed...
Bait switch.
You expressed a very genuine, meaningful point.
This is the last thing I'll say, and then I'll shut up and we'll go have our break. That is one of the... you and me have talked about this before. That's why I don't like Eliza Schlesinger, whatever her name is.
Yeah, you said it right.
Yeah, because that's what she does. She's so quick to be like, Jews are the most oppressed people in the world, and then also bring her fucking little poodle dog in her purse on her first class flight all over America. Like, you can't have it both ways, lady. Yeah. You can't both say everything that's wrong happens to you is you being oppressed, and then also live this glamorous life that no oppressed minority...
Yeah, but not only Jews do this thing that you're criticizing.
A lot of people do it. I think Jews... But Jews have so much power.
You're sounding like you're singling them out.
I am singling them out because, like, they're a minority group that has so much power. There isn't ghettos of Jews anywhere in America like there are of every other minority. That just doesn't exist anywhere that I've ever heard of anywhere in America. I'm not saying there's no... lower middle class Jews. I'm not saying there's no poor Jews, but there's not enough of them to clump up in ghettos anymore like there is of every other ethnic group that they want to continue to compare themselves to. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But anyway, on that note,
on that racially charged note, Barry's commercial break. The Millennial Nostalgia Berry Podcast.
All right, it's Jeffrey. Today I wanted to talk about a very old school video game called Gauntlet. Gauntlet was, as Wikipedia says,
according to Wikipedia.
Everyone listens to Wikipedia. Gauntlet was first made in 1985. It was a arcade cabinet. It was a fantasy-themed hack-and-slash. Mm. It was a top-down style. You could play as four characters. One was a warrior, Valkyrie, archer, or wizard. I learned recently that it was based off of Dungeons & Dragons, the paper game.
Mm.
They've made many different incarnations of this game. There's been several sequels they've added on. Various arcade cabinets they've had it on. They've done ports for PlayStation and Genesis and N64. It's a pretty standard hack and slash. So what you do is you play as these one of four characters. You can play four players at once. And you got to get these keys. You got to get the treasure. You got to kill these ghosts and monsters and lizard men and all that jazz. In the older incarnations of the game, You fight bosses at the end. I think the N64 game, you fight this giant-ass dragon, and you have to, there's different kind of strategies to beat the game.
Do they look all the same? Are they all top-down?
They're all top-down except for N64, I believe, the newer incarnations.
Yeah.
They have, it's like a isometric kind of, it is top-down a little bit, and then it also switches to a different view.
Like Zelda, kind of, or it's like, what, third person slash first person? I don't know what they call it.
Yeah, kind of like a 45-degree angle above it, and then you can see the boss. I mean, I'm just remembering from what I was playing.
What did you play it on?
So that's what I it was interesting when I thought about this game, or after I changed the game from Twisted Metal to this game, it was weird that this game had like followed me throughout my entire life. Like this is one of the few games that I'd played at different years of my life, and the first time I'd played it, I played it in Canada, and
I love that
Canadian. I mean, Canadians, Canada, right?
That makes more sense. It's all where you put the emphasis on the right syllable. Right?
Emphasis. I played it in like the basement of this variety store called Kelly's Variety Store in Stratford, Ontario. Oddly enough, the birthplace of a national treasure, Justin Bieber.
Ooh.
God, that new song by fucking that DJ Khaled song by.
You like it now, don't you?
I still don't like it. No, man. It's just such a sellout.
I stopped hating on Justin Bieber a long time ago.
DJ Khaled, what is it? Arab Assault was his original name.
Yeah, it was something like
that. Something like that. And now he's working with fucking Justin Bieber. Bustin Bieber.
Why would you not?
I mean, I guess he's a big name now.
Yeah.
That I don't hate someone for working with success.
One of the biggest stars ever. He's talented as fuck, man. Fuck what people say. Justin Bieber is talented as fuck.
Bustin Bieber.
I don't know if I agree with the fact that... No, I guess I do agree with the fact that he's talented.
He's pretty talented, man.
I have this thing where I always compare people to the pop kings of the past. Or
which
whatever.
Is stupid.
Just the way I think.
You would have been the guy while Michael Jackson was big, being like, hey, Elvis. Elvis is bigger. Elvis bought the white suit out first. You'd have been that guy. That's what you're saying?
I think that maybe, yeah. I don't know. You've got that argument that you make all the time, which is hard for me to overcome. But I'm just telling you how I feel.
No,
like,
I think
that he is a step down from pop icons of the past.
But I think it's strictly because of like his non-musical stuff. That's why people hate him. Because of him being a dick.
Well, what I will admit,
he's just kind of a bitch.
That I haven't really listened to his music. He's a bitch. I have not really listened to his music.
Because most people that listen to his music walk away thinking, that was pretty good. Just the same way they did with Justin Timberlake.
But I have seen his performances, and I've always been very disappointed with his performance skills. That's one thing I will say confidently. I don't think he's a great performer.
I don't think he is anymore. This is way off topic, but I'll just say it real quick because I think the Justin Bieber argument is a funny one. But one, he is really talented. I mean, he's an incredible drummer. He can really sing. Like, he is a really good singer. But he's also, like, I kind of put him in the same boat as Michael Jackson or Britney Spears or, like, he was a superstar when he was a child. I can't imagine, like, when he was 12 years old, 13 years old, he was on SNL with Tina Fey at her height, like, just swooning over him.
Yeah.
Everywhere he went, all these times we talk about as, you know, us growing up as kids, where all he wanted to do was just see a breast, all he wanted to do was just brush against a breast, he had hundreds of thousands of women from ages 10 to 50 throwing the titties at his face when he was 11 years old. You can't grow up and be normal and be that and have that happen to you. That's not a normal existence. So I don't think that's his fault. I'm not going to count it against his music credentials. That's all I say. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but I understand why he is the way he is, and I think you can't add that onto his music. Anyways, back to Gauntlet.
Back to Gauntlet. So what I was saying is like I kind of like it's a weird now that I think about it, it's like a weird game that I kind of just grew up as I grew older that like the game kind of grew with me. When I first played it again, it was the first incarnation of this. The first one was a top down. It was like 2D sprites. You kind of just you move left right. There was no diagonal really.
What is sprite?
Sprite is the I guess digital term for when they show characters on a video game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
I didn't know that.
Like an RPGs.
Jeffrey's the video game.
No, when you just said that, that really solidified that in my head that he is the video game guy. Because he's using like technology that, or terminology that I didn't know.
There's no question that Jeffrey's, one of his many value added aspects is he knows his shit with video games.
No, that was.
But it's Bryce. I don't know. That's just video game Jeffrey.
But that's why you're such a video gamer, because you just think that's all.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Anyway, yeah, so they had the 2 days protector. Exactly. Popping that pocket protector. So they had 2D sprites with the top down, there was like ghosts and stuff, and you could shoot axes or arrows or magic balls. I forgot what the Valkyrie did, because I'm not playing as a girl when I was a kid.
Axe.
To give you the warrior already had axes.
Oh.
Anyway, so, I played this in the summertime. I played it in the summertime when I visited Canada.
Mm.
I visited Canada for like 8 to 10 years of my entire life. Everyone's like, well, you're not really Canadian, you grew up in the States. I'm like, well, my fucking 3 months of the year was spent in Canada. That was summertime in Canada.
Now you grew up in the United States.
Yeah. I guess part of it. We were still,
But part of your identity is that experience, all those months living in Canada. Yeah.
And it was, whenever we went to that Kelly's Variety, I always had to fight my sister and my two girl cousins. Well, I have three girl cousins, but the two of them was the one we always went and visited. Because they didn't want to fucking play video games. They just wanted to they wanted to record this movie that we made called Rabbits, where it was.
Can we see that, please?
No, we're not going to fucking see it.
Please? Oh my god!
How are we just
talking
about
this?
Can
we post that on the website?
Many people
now?
There's not many people who have seen this movie.
Rabbits? It's called Rabbits?
It's called Rabbits. It's about.
Little Bunny Fufu?
No, I'm the hunter and I hunt the rabbits.
Running through the forest?
My cousins and my sister are rabbits. And we made a big play about it.
Oh my god! Are you Farmer Brown?
No, I'm a fucking hunter. I just said it.
You did say that.
Yeah.
You know the movie Belly, right?
Yeah.
You've seen it, right?
DMX, Nas?
So you know that scene after they rob the club and they go back home and he's watching that weird ass movie where there's a kid in like his underwear with like a bunny rabbits on his head and some kids are just telling him, this is a bunch of bullshit. They're just yelling at him and they're like, man, what the fuck are you watching? That's all I have in my mind right now. He said I made a movie called Rabbits.
I have Jeffrey in a full body white
bunny
costume.
Yeah. I had a fucking like
he was a
Johnny
hopping Apple, around.
I had a Johnny Appleseed hat on that had like that like.
Who has a Johnny Appleseed hat?
A lot of people in Canada and Minnesota.
Yeah, man.
What is that? I have no idea what that is.
It's like a fur cap with like a
Johnny Appleseed wore like a a pot on his head, but I know it.
You know what I mean? It was
yeah.
like
it's like a lumberjack hat.
Yeah, but lumberjacks didn't wear that fucking hat. Like,
yeah, I know what you're talking.
Had
about.
Had like a raccoon tail on the back of it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Davy Crockett. Who's
your Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett.
You know that kind
of king
hat, right?
of the old frontier. My father used to watch that show.
I never watched.
No, Davy Crockett was interesting.
Davy Crockett's old school. It's like the 50s.
No. That was like Davy Crockett is like an actual person.
Yeah, I know. But there was a TV show in the 50s.
Okay, that's fine. But not
I might be wrong.
Not everything is
might have just
to
made
a TV
that up.
Show.
No, I might have just made
Davy
all
Crockett.
That up.
He made
He's
that
like
up.
A legend, like Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah.
Which was why Jeffrey just
like
conflated the two.
Yeah. Real people that became like tall tales.
By the way,
yeah.
respect to Crunchy for knowing what Johnny Appleseed wore on his head.
Because he did wear a fucking pot.
He did wear a pot.
I was so
That's pretty impressive.
He was kind of a pot head almost.
Yes!
Yes! Yeah. I was really into Tall Tales when I was a kid. Do you guys remember that movie, Tall Tale?
Yeah. That title is very familiar. I'm sure that I've seen it.
There's a kid who just ran into a bunch of different Tall Tales, like Wild Bill Hiccup comes in like a tornado.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not Wild Bill, I forget that guy's name.
I
mean,
he meets
John Henry, and he meets Paul Bunyan.
I remember that movie. I can't remember... I remember that John Henry part because he's working on the railroad and he's this big fucking black dude, like dark skinned black dude, right?
Pretty sure it was Michael Clark Duncan.
He's a big
dark
skinned black dude.
But
that's
it. Yeah. But anyway, that's why I knew that. But yeah.
What's the name of that Tall Tale?
It's just called Tall Tale.
No, but Michael Clark Duncan.
John Tall Tale. He's John Henry.
John Henry.
Pretty sure he's John
Henry. Those are the ones that I know.
John Henry,
Johnny Appleseed,
Oppenheimer Smith, right?
What's the one with the blue ox?
That's Paul Bunyan.
Those are the Minnesota one. That's a huge.
Oh, that is in Minnesota.
Him in Southern Minnesota.
Wait, it's in Fargo.
No, is it when you enter the state they have that?
No, it's in the movie Fargo.
It's in the movie Fargo.
That's what I meant.
Southern Minnesota. I was going to say, no, it's not in Fargo. I got you. Yeah. No, it's in Southern Minnesota.
Yeah. Anyway, so Gauntlet, you know, I grew up with this game. You know, it was on Well Street. Where my grandparents live.
They're on a street called Well Street.
Yeah, Well Street is right next to this... right next to this park, we just go and ride our bikes, and you know, some good fucking memories there. We'd go to fucking Kelly's Variety, we'd get a bunch of candy. My grandma would give us like 10 Canadian dollars in fucking toonies and onesies. It was just
fucking toonies.
I love that. When I went to Canada in 8th grade, I couldn't get fucking over that. Yeah. Toonies and loonies?
Toonies and loonies, that's where it's loonies.
Because there's a loon on the coin.
Yeah.
So they call it a loon.
Great Minnesota.
I know that, but
it's still stupid.
Loony.
Yeah, they're taking our shit. We're the loons. That's our state bird.
Loonies. Anyway,
What's... Do you know the New York state bird?
Pigeon?
Is it really?
No.
Oh. Is it really?
I don't know.
Ours is mosquito, actually.
No, because I feel like everybody in Minnesota knows the loon is the state bird. I feel like nobody in New York knows their state bird is supposed to be. No one from New York City.
You know, it's really embarrassing, too, because my father is a very avid bird watcher, and I feel a little bit ashamed.
But I'm not a bird watcher, and I know what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's very common knowledge in Minnesota. Like, everybody knows that, no matter whether you want to act like you know it or not. I feel like someone from New York City would have no clue. Do you even know if it's, like, a kind of duck, a bird of prey?
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's hilarious to me. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Loonies.
That's just curious.
No. I mean, that sound is still fucking beautiful. I don't give a fuck what it is.
Loonies? Or the loon?
The loon?
The loon does have a beautiful... You know, they use it in the first Jurassic Park movie.
Did it?
For which? For the raptors?
No, when that guy gets killed... And the guy that's on Seinfeld, I forget his name.
Newman,
that character. When he dies and the thing spits the acid in his face and has the things going up, that's the sound of a loon.
Really?
That's a loon call they use.
Anyway, but so why I chose this game, or you know, why I thought of this game, I thought was most important because of, again, like I said, I grew up in the summertime in Canada. You know, I made a lot of memories, and then this game kind of followed me. And the game Gauntlet Legends, which is for N64. My memory of that game is playing with, you know, two, sometimes three of my best friends, even now, my oldest friends ever. And we played, you know, we'd have sleepovers in fucking, I think it was 8th grade or 9th grade. And again, we were kind of a band of outcasts. At least I always thought of that way, like, you know, maybe it was just us. Like, we weren't really the cool people. Like, that was the year when I went and talked to that girl and she said I was a pizza face. You know, in 8th grade and 9th grade, remember this?
That's not the one you sang to, is it?
No.
In this 8th grade, I was like, this 9th grader wants to meet you. And then she was like, ew, gross, pizza face. I'm like, hey, cool.
You know what's funny? I feel like you had the most sitcom fucking teen years ever, because I see that shit and I'm like, man, that don't happen to
fucking
people.
Happens.
Like, yeah.
You're terrible. Yeah. That was the year.
Some awkward little kids have balls and they go for it. And that's what Jeffrey did.
Fucking sang to a chick.
That was in fifth grade, sixth grade.
No, I take that back. You didn't just sing to a chick. You sung to a chick to get her back. That's what's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's one thing to just sing and try to get attention. It's another thing to be like, this song is for you. Come back to me.
Every time you go away. Man, how dumb was that?
The opposite of dumb. Awesome.
And that's one of the things, like, yeah, the cool kid would never do that, and that's why it takes
sucks.
So much balls to do that.
Yeah, hella balls. I didn't masturbate then. So many balls.
They were
hella
so
balls.
Built up.
Hella balls,
hella
dude.
Balls.
So ball. Anyway, so I guess, you know, that brings me to a point that I want to talk about. It was just like, so one of the friends that I have that had played, I'd played Gauntlet Legends with for so long. We played fucking, it had to have been a legitimate 70 hours on this game. Of all, you know, three to four of us together, like working together to beat this game. And, like, those memories are just... Those memories are what... I don't really talk to him that much anymore. But still, I would take a fucking bullet for that guy.
How? Just because of that bonding experience.
Just because... So, from, like... So, I met him in, like, fourth... Maybe... No. Maybe second grade.
This is your friend.
This is my friend.
Not your cousin. Okay.
This is my friend. From second grade. And we were just so close all the way through college. And then, since I moved to China, we kind of fell off.
Of course.
You know, he's... You know, of course. But, like, all my other friends, I'm still really close with, except for this one guy. He just doesn't really try. And... Which sucks. But even then, whatever happens, anything that happens, I'm gonna fucking take two knives to the face for this guy. He is... I love him to death. Like, all those guys have grown up, but this one especially, he and I have had so many close talks, we've had so many, like, everything.
All outgrowths of that.
Those first years. The first growth
playing
of
Gauntlet.
Just playing, well, not just Gauntlet, but no, it was just...
Symbolic of a larger...
Yeah. And
because again, you have conversations while you're playing. You learn about each other while you're playing. It's not just that you're playing the game.
No.
It's the time you're spending together.
And, you know, that's kind of like... It was like the quintessential male relationship where we're talking to each other, but we're talking like this. We're facing...
Yeah.
Sorry, we're facing straight. We're not looking at each other, but we're talking and we're not talking.
Always about got the extra space in the couch.
Yep.
You never sit in the middle.
Yep.
You always got two on the arm.
Yeah. You know, you're still talking close, but you're not facing each other.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, man, you get that sideways. The serious talk, but sideways. Anyway, so, and you know, I just, you know, I kind of want to talk about, like, the memories that we hold on to in the summertime. Those summertime, you know, you have that break in school where you're like, hey, man, I came up for the summertime. We can just hang out. Like, we ain't got to go to school. And then you have this summertime with a friend, and it just really, like, it really blossoms. Or, you know, I feel like the friends that you grew, like, the, for example, when I went from 8th grade to 9th grade, I had a different group of friends.
Yeah, of course.
And, 9th grade to 10th grade, I had a different group of friends. And, like, those friends stuck with me through high school. And then, you know, I feel like the summertime is when you really gain the friends. That friendship, that summertime... experience really strengthens the relationship with whoever you hang out with. Yeah.
Question about, because this is something that is going to be connected to what I talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
So when you're saying that the summertime is an opportunity to really strengthen and deepen bonds as far as friendships.
Yeah.
So all these stories about living in Canada.
Yeah.
And playing games with these are guys who were... You knew before.
So the Canada story is not my friends. My friends. So when I hit like 7th grade, I didn't really go. When I was 6th or 7th grade, I didn't go to Canada anymore. Because that was around the time my parents started to get a divorce. And so there wasn't really. We weren't taking that 18 hour fucking trip to Toronto. Because that's a long fucking drive.
It's a long drive, man.
Jeez.
I used to do
long
all
fucking
time.
Drive.
It's a long
I never
drive.
Did.
So
I've never long. Done an 18 hour drive.
Yeah.
My dad used to do it in one day.
What?
My dad used to do it one day, and anyway, so as I was saying, that was the second time I got crabs.
That's from something.
That's from Super Troopers.
Yes, it is. Yes,
come
it
on,
is.
Man.
Anyway,
that's
so...
such a generic joke. Just accept it.
God, I love referring
it.
To great movies.
Woo!
I'm sorry. That instinct's never going
to
go away.
Like, it's annoying to listen to, but anyways.
Anyway, so, I mean, I guess...
Listen,
you know,
to it, motherfucker!
What...
I can't hear you.
What I wanted to talk about was, like, those, like... I don't know if you got... Do you guys have friends, like, back...
No,
like,
friends.
You have
none.
Like, friends you had in, like, junior high and high school that even now, maybe you haven't talked to them in a long time, but you still regard them. Like, if you saw them, like, hey, man, what's up? Like
yes.
Really, you're still
yes.
really, really close
yes.
to them.
Yes.
Like, just because of those memories you had in the summertime, you're still boys. Like, you're still good friends, regardless of whatever time
yes.
has passed.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. You're still like, hey, we had that time when we were growing up, when we were developing ourselves, and, you know, when we were coming into the men that we are now. You know, we still had that time together. And, that's what I want to talk about today.
You want me to give an example of that?
Oh, I thought you had one.
Sorry, I thought that you were...
Oh, did you not? I thought you had one.
Yeah.
I took a lot of you to speak first.
I do have one, absolutely.
I'm being courteous.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Crunchy, you're very courteous.
Thank you so much.
You have courtesy coming out of your fucking ass. I love it.
I'm not courteous, though.
All right. I have much more than that coming out of my ass if you want to talk about gay.
Yeah. So I think it's a symptom of being an expat because there's already a lot of pressure to maintain relationships that fall to the wayside because of work life, and that's
moving,
for people
moving
who
away.
Are still living in their hometown. And yeah. The fact that the three of us are expats, I think it adds another layer of pressure to trying to keep up with old school friendships. And I think that...
Can I interject real quick? I just want to ask you a question. I don't mean to interrupt you, but just, you're the longest expat of us three
that's
as
right.
well,
right?
That's all I just wanted to... So
what,
like,
what are you at? Are you at 10? 12?
8 years.
I'm fucking eight.
On nine.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys are the same. Okay.
Yeah, we're the same.
Oh, because you went back.
No, because people didn't start in Shanghai. That's why he's the same as me.
Oh.
You were in Chengdu, right?
I knew
Marshall.
That,
but no. What time is that? 124?
Yeah, 124. Nice. Just right down 124.
Good, good, good.
Glad you're catching this, though.
Very good.
I got my pen is just ready to roll.
But okay, sorry, I didn't interrupt you. I just thought that was an important point to make. Yeah, sorry.
So, but yeah, I mean, just so one example, I had a very close friend who we bonded playing video games together, but actually the beginning of our friendship was we went to the same temple together. And we used to, like, run around. Like, they would have the prayer services, and the little kids would go to the backyard and run around in the jungle gym and just, like, chase each other and fucking, you know, just fuck around. Be kids.
How old were you?
8 years old.
They're supposed to say 18. Okay.
8 years old. And then we ended up being on the same basketball team together in middle school. Not AAU, but, like, local police league, you know.
Is this the same kid you played SimCity with?
No, different kid.
Okay.
If you remember that episode, I have not spoken to that kid.
No, I know. But you still speak of the kid
so
you're
this
talking
is,
about.
Because I want to connect to what Jeff was talking about. So every time I go back, it's just like
nothing is fucking
kids.
Changed.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
And we meet up, and he's got a kid now, and he's married, and he has a really interesting job. He works for the parks department.
Mm.
He does gardening for them and like landscaping.
Cool.
And he's completely lost his religion. I've completely lost my religion. But we just get together and just shoot the shit, hit the same references. You
that's fucking beautiful, really. Like, if you think about it, how the fuck is that even possible? Like, generally people like friends here, if you don't hang out with them, that shit falls out.
Yes.
Like I mean, I have so many friends that I don't really talk to anymore, and that shit just falls away on the wayside. But like, with the fact that you can just go home and like, sure, like there's so many additions to this like person's life, and you're just like, oh shit, nothing's changed.
Yep.
Let's go fucking play some Gauntlet Legends.
Boy.
Like,
yep.
I'm still your boy.
Yep.
Well, because I'm the skeptical atheist scientist guy over here, I'll tell you exactly why I think it exists, and it has to do with one of the words in our podcast. The nostalgia factor. It's because you had such a strong connection to them at such a formative time in your life.
Yeah. I agree with
it's
that.
Like somebody you meet as an adult.
I mean, I didn't think it was a religious, by the way. Well, Jesus Christ said they've connected us together.
No, my point is, it's just I didn't jump to this. This is impossible because it's so cool. Just like, oh, well, that's probably a rational explanation for that.
Just,
that's
like, just chemically speaking, I suppose. You know, I really like how the braid works. I feel like it's,
he does it better than me. Jeffrey is the.
It's, you know, it's not a Jewish. It's not a Jewish accent.
No,
it's
just
fucking Dr. Finks or whatever that
he
is.
He wants to be a Jew.
It's the scientist. It's the scientist from Simpsons.
A little bit.
Which is supposed to be.
Is that
Jewish,
his name?
I'm pretty sure.
Dr. Finks or whatever.
He's supposed to be Jerry
Dr.
Lewis,
Fink.
Right? That voice is.
That is Jerry. That's
Lewis.
The Jerry Lewis voice.
I mean, Woody Allen also. But
pretty sure it's not Finks.
It's like Finkel. It's like Finkel or something.
I think it's Finkel.
Finkel and Einhorn. Finkel and Einhorn. Finkel. Einhorn. Finkel. Einhorn.
Finkel is Einhorn.
That movie needs to be done. I'm not reserving it, but I'm just saying that movie needs to be done.
Sure.
Alright, I figured out what I'm fucking doing next.
But yeah, the nostalgia thing, it's because it's somebody you have, like, you know, positive connection to as a child, so.
Yeah.
And I think everybody has at least one person. I shouldn't say everybody. I think most people have at least one person like that. Yeah, it's kind of interesting you actually brought that up, because I feel like. So I actually talked to, like, since I moved overseas, I've actually done a really good job of keeping in contact with my best friend. We used to talk almost every day, we would either at least be texting each other back and forth.
Even now?
This year it's fallen off a little bit. He just moved out to L.A. He's trying to become an actor, doing things in Hollywood. We've fallen off a little bit. But I actually talked to him on Sunday. And kind of along the lines of the theme I brought up earlier about doing the movie that I did. And feeling like I'm not represented culturally well enough in the podcast with some of the movies you guys pick. I don't know. I'm something around.
Yeah,
but like,
I got it. You made that point before.
I feel like that's something I've really felt being overseas, is it's really hard for me to find people to connect with because the only thing we have in common is we're from America. And then people do like what I said you guys did with Big. They're like, well, this is just what everybody does. Right? It's like, no, you're a white person. You're still the majority back home. Like, the way you feel as an expat is also how I feel back in my home country as well. You know?
I mean, I totally agree with it. Like, myself, personally, like, I have no one to talk about karaoke with. Like, it's unfortunate. Like, I try to connect with you guys about KTV, and nobody... Like,
no barbecuing pork, right?
And no one wants to do karaoke and then barbecuing an entire pork for the show. Like, you know...
There's not a single person
to relate to. You know what I mean?
I feel sorry for you, man.
Is there any other Filipino stereotypes we can rag on?
I'll just say cover bands, but I know how to work.
No, KTV is cover bands.
Yeah. I mean, KTV is like literally the majority of it. Like my fucking even my aunt, they have this karaoke in the band and in the basement, and they're just like when they get it late at night, like it could be like 1 a.m. just like, like just singing by themselves.
Where did that come from?
No one's around.
Why is that such a
big thing? I have no idea.
You don't know.
No clue. Do you know?
Well, I don't know this. But I do know that a lot of Polynesian countries are well known for their music and their love of music. And I my guess, if I had a guess, would be that's a cultural tradition that went to a place like the Philippines thousands of years ago.
When I was in the Philippines with Mason, when I was in the Philippines, I visited them. But they had like...
I know who Mason is.
They had like... Mason?
Sure.
Yeah, Mason.
Mason.
Come on, we all know fucking
Mason. Anyway, so Mason. So they had this like, they were selling karaoke machines, and this guy was like, "Oh yeah, you know it's really good. You got to check it out." We were just asking questions, and he just busts out like John Legend and just crushes
right.
it, like beautiful voice, like fantastic. And we're like, "Man, I kind of want to buy that."
I've never met a Filipino girl that can at least kind of carry a tune. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I've ever known a Filipino that wasn't somewhat musical.
Yeah.
Or at least into music. Like, even the one Filipino kid I knew growing up, his dad was, like, a drummer in a band.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Tagalog, right?
Yeah. Tagalog.
I just didn't say that.
Tagalog.
Right.
It's Tagalog, yeah.
Thank you. All right. Is it a tonal language?
No.
It's not a tonal language. Because one thing I noticed about
actually
Chinese
quite a bit
people
of
is,
English in there.
And this is something that's like been, there's been scientifically verified studies that have proven this. There's a larger percentage of Chinese who have perfect pitch.
Yeah.
And the reason, there's been evidence of causal link. So I was just curious if maybe Filipinos.
No.
Okay, so never mind.
I just think they just practice a lot.
I do think it has something to do with that island stuff, because when you're sitting around, I mean, again, you look even in the Caribbean, a lot of those countries are really well known for their style, their music.
But British people can't sing.
True. Is that a low
Adele word? Aside.
But they're white people, though.
Who are a plague, a pox upon...
Yeah, who likes
a pox
people?
Upon your household.
Upon the globe. No, I'm starting to feel like that. I am starting to feel like that.
That white people are...
Are a mutant race that is
that
like,
sounds like the Matrix.
That
it just sounds like how I'm feeling.
I've told you this before when I was reading this. I told you this when you and me watched Total Recall.
It's not... So, all right, you speak. Explain it.
Well, just that's the whole theory behind black Muslims and how the white people...
Wait, is it the 1%ers or is it...
The 5%ers and black Islam are, like, dissecting sex from this one black Islamist, African-American Islamist, Islamist group in, like, the early 20s or 30s or something like that.
And they believe that white people were a mutant race
a mutant race created by an evil scientist, like a couple of millennia.
That part I don't believe, but I was just watching. I was just watching a really great TV show, Master of None. You guys know that show?
I haven't watched it.
It's a British show, right?
Old
show. No, it's an American show.
No, it's fucking
Aziz Ansari.
Oh.
And he's first generation Indian. Mm. His parents were obviously born in India.
Mm.
And he co-writes it with his writing partner, who's Chinese, who's first generation Chinese. Oh, Korean, so I'm sorry. So they both integrate storylines about their parents, about how the respect they have for their family is very different from the respect that white people have for their parents and families in America.
They're talking about America, though. And
I mean, but that's
every immigrant group that came to the new world felt that way.
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a white people thing. I think it's just a non-American thing is what they're tapping into. I think that's a little different.
Okay.
Because I'm watching the Medici right now.
Yeah.
And they're white people.
That's it. Yeah.
They did kind of some ingenious things. It's hard to take that away from.
That's an interesting comment because they have that stuff. Like, for example, my uncle, like, I mean, I guess the thing is just universal, but like, my uncle lives with his mom, my Lola.
Yeah. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's
a normal
thing.
It's a normal thing because he's taking care of his
but for white people, that would be like a weird
thing.
Is
kind of a lower, like, you're living with your parents, you fucked up.
Yeah, I don't think that's weird in some European countries. Probably a lot of European countries. I think that's a weird American thing because the whole economy for the last 50 years has been based on people buying homes. So they push buying homes on you in America.
Exactly.
So that's the cultural thing.
American. So I replace everything I just said about white people with American white people.
That being said, I still agree with you that white people are a scourge upon the earth and need
except
to
be Jews, because Jews are special, but we can still can fuck with big. So
Jews
fuck you.
Are the
fuck
worst
you.
Kind
fuck
of white
you.
People.
And we own the banks, son.
It's your problem.
Anyway, so that's all.
You want
a
loan, motherfucker? You want a loan?
Do you have anything to say?
Well, I did get interrupted in the middle of the story, but it was part of my fault. it was my fault. I'm taking the blame. This one time. It's very unusual. It's not Herschel.
We got a lot of high energy in this podcast.
Herschel.
Is it? It's almost reminiscent of the older podcast, which I fucking love. Which I very much love.
You got anything you want to say?
About? No.
Oh, no. Talking about the friend thing, though. So the whole reason I brought that up about ethnicities or whatever is because, and feeling like an outsider even in my home country, and then getting frustrated with white Americans who like are complaining about being the minority in a country they chose to move to. And I'm like, yeah, well, everything you're complaining about, I feel the exact same way when I'm in some small town in the middle of Kansas too, so you're not really getting any sympathy from me. But I talked to my best friend back home, who I've known since I was in kindergarten. We've been best friend since we were in 7th grade. He's always been my best friend. And I talked to him again, and it was like one of the most refreshing conversations I've had in a long time, because I feel like now, again, I remember who I am, and I'm okay with who I am. Because being mixed and being as light as I am, I sometimes feel like when I, quote-unquote, black it up too much. I am a red bone. I feel like when I black it up too much, people don't believe me. Or they feel like I'm faking, and we heard it. You don't think we heard it?
Keep going.
No, it's too late now. Never mind.
Anyway, I feel like
it was important. You said red bone, so just say red bone.
Oh, that's all I said. I mean, it's fucking. It's not like it's a one-sided microphone.
I know. I don't know why.
It's a running gag.
What's the red bone?
Red bone.
Yeah.
Anyway, it felt good talking to my friend back home.
Yeah,
had a lot of summer memories.
All right, so when you talk about your friends back home, like is there? All right, so for me, I guess at some small point, like at least for a couple friends, I feel that the conversation runs thin, and maybe it's just from being an expat, and like you talk to like this is might be going a little bit too long and also too far off topic, but I just want to talk about very quickly. You know, when you go home, I think we probably talked about it once before. But when you go home and you like talk about, you like try and shoot the shit with people, it's so strange. Like, you're like, hey man, what's new? You're like, oh, you know, I'm just working. So I'm like, oh cool, I went to fucking I went to India this year, or I went to Thailand. It was crazy. We did some mushroom shakes and on the island. And the crazy fucking party, like, and you know, it was just, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. Like when people are like, oh yeah, we went to Wisconsin Dells, and like, tight. I bet that was really fun. And then like they're like, what did you do? And I'm like, well. I went to like five countries.
Yeah, I went scuba diving in Australia.
I saw a fucking big ass fucking a stingray that was probably the size of this fucking table. Like,
and then I went to a resort in Singapore for 3 weeks.
Yeah, like there's almost like it's such a weird. It's like you're not trying to be pompous at all. It's just like that's just how
you have different lifestyles.
Yeah.
You have a type of lifestyle where
I feel like it throws people off though. Like
because they look at you, because here's the thing I always get frustrated with the criticism of Americans is that they're uncultured or whatever, they don't understand about the world, but we're landlocked kind of. Like it's really cheap to live in England and travel to Czechoslovakia, and along that way, you can take a train. Along that way, you'll hear 30 different languages and see 30 different ancient cultures. That exact same time it takes to travel from England to Czechoslovakia or wherever the fuck it is. I don't even know if that's a country anymore.
It's not.
You would make it across, like, what, 1/6 of America? You know? So,
yeah.
It's hard not to sound like an asshole to people who, even if they've been traveling around the country, going from Minnesota to L.A. is not as cool as going from Shanghai to, you know,
Indonesia. In the U.S. world as far as culture goes.
No, we're not. I hate when people say that.
Why?
We have tons of culture. Everyone copies our culture. That's why we think we don't have a culture.
Yeah, but they copy the most widespread culture in the world. They copy our one cultural aspect.
What? Porn?
Do they copy our porn? Not Japanese porn. That's bukkake as fuck.
Japanese make the best porn.
There it is.
Second. They copy our music, they copy our clothing, they copy our movies.
Yeah, but we only have really like video games. Like that's, so if you're like, alright, that's American, right?
Isn't that how you find out what a culture of a place is?
But our culture is so varied, like.
Exactly. That's why I hate when people act like we don't have a culture. We have a super diverse culture at that. It's just we're one like solid country as opposed to 97 different ancient countries like it is in Europe.
Do you think that's worse or better?
I don't think it's either. I think it's a mute point.
That's the second one. So I feel like that argument is, I mean, as far as the standard of, like, for example, I've heard that the dining habits of Americans are very similar across whatever state you are. Like, for example, like, if you were to, whenever I hear about, like, Spanish or French or even Filipino, they have a solid, like, when you eat dinner, if you eat dinner with your family, it's dinner time. Italian is a huge one. We're having dinner time, you know. We're not having dinner at the TV, which is technically, even though it's stereotypical, it is widespread around America, whether you believe it or not.
But what
fast food as well.
What does that have to do with the fact that we have a culture, though? That's my whole point.
So, I guess, could you compare that fast food culture is better than other?
I'm not making a value judgment.
I'm making a value judgment. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know if it's better or worse.
Well, I'm...
How do you like judge if it's better or worse?
Jeffrey's sentiment is related to what I was saying before, which is there's a traditional paradigm for a family structure, and it's connected to things like food culture.
Yeah.
And those bonds are traditional and they're strong and they form a support network. And what I was sort of reacting to earlier in this previous conversation was about this feeling that there is this new modern culture that is devoid of some of those traditional social bonds. And I felt when I came to China, because I was a latchkey kid who had a very weak family and had grandparents who lived in different states and didn't have a village to raise me.
Yeah.
When I came here, at the risk of sounding corny, I meant what I said about.
I'm the latchkey kid thing I like.
Oh, all right. Yeah. But then I came here, and one of the things that attracted me about China, and the reason I've been here for 8 years, is that I met people here who embraced me as a member of their family, because they could sense that I was adrift, that I was lost, and I came here, and not only did I find, I like a Chinese family adopted me, but then that gave me the confidence to then create my own family, which I have created, which is a Chinese-American family, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but
well,
I just...
And I feel you, but my brother did the exact same thing with somebody who just lived in a smaller town in Minnesota. Like, as I think we conflate sometimes American culture with city culture. I think we conflate... We say because there's common things among... Because we do the same thing with Europeans. We always say talk about the common European culture or a common Asian culture or a common African culture.
I've never said that about Asian.
But that's partially because you are part Asian, so you understand that. Just like most Africans don't talk about Africa like it's a country, like most of the world does.
European would be a weird thing as well.
A lot of people say, well, Europeans, I mean, I feel like we've even said it in this conversation. I feel like you said it in this conversation. The Europeans have different cultural norms than we do.
Oh, yeah, they do. But
yeah, but even within that country, they don't all agree with that. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying any closer examination of every broad thing people say about Americans would see that it's not. That's not true. There is differences in the different regions. That's why our country's so divided. Like, we're not one, like... I was going to say monogamous, but that's not the right word.
Homogenous.
Homogenous, thank you.
I like monogamous better.
Group. Yeah.
All right, cool.
I just want you to say something, man. I don't feel like
I have nothing to say.
Well, let's, I mean, with that note, I guess, why don't we take
that super awkward note, let's take a commercial break.
So say we're fun. Just feel like...
34 East Anaheim, all the windows are busted out. And it's like a free-for-all here, and the owner should be able to come down here and see if the secure business if he wants to. April 26, 1992, there was a riot on the streets, tell me where were you? You were sitting home watching your TV, while I was participating in some anarchy. First spot we hit it was my liquor store. I finally got all that alcohol I can't afford. With red lights flashing, time to retire. And then we turned that liquor store into a structure fire. Next stop we hit it was the music shop. It only took one look to make that window drop. Finally we got our own PA. Where did you think I got this guitar that you're hearing today? Hey!
Boom, boom, boom!
Give us a solo, solo, solo!
God
damn it, I was really hoping for
Yeah, me too. Jeffrey has a really underrated good voice.
Because he's Filipino, so if he's singing someone else's songs, man, you're gonna kill
him! It's in his DNA.
And you.
Alright.
You're gonna love me!
Even though I feel like you sing the most.
I do, so I definitely sing.
You sing a lot.
I definitely sing the most. Alright, so, I feel like I made an active choice to avoid hip-hop. I chose Sublime, self-entitled album. It's their third studio album. 1996.
Same year? Oh, no, it's not. Never mind.
1996. So Sublime's a ska punk band, which is a genre of music that I know nothing about, and I made no attempt in preparing for this podcast to learn anything about ska or punk. But I think that's why I want to talk about this album, because this is an album that I've been listening to the past week, and similar to some of the other albums I chose, it's one of those albums you can just play through, and every track is enjoyable. And I think one of the reasons is because it's just a brilliant album. That's not a controversial thing that I'm saying. Magazines like Spin and Rolling Stone have said it's one of the most, you know, well-regarded albums of the 90s. So I'm not going to try to explain why it's a brilliant album.
Did it sell really well?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It sold really well.
A lot of singles off of it?
No, not a lot of singles. It was more of word of mouth, and the album itself slowly built. And even to this day... Yeah, even to this day, it's an album that still sells.
Right.
It's a classic. But it's unusual for me, because most of the albums that I consider classics of my youth are hip-hop or pop.
Right.
Because that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
That's the music that I love. But this was an album that I listened to because... So our theme for this episode is summer lessons. And summer's coming up, and I think that got me in the mood to want to talk about an album that I connect with for my summer experience from the age of 12 to about 19. I went to a summer camp, sports camp in Maine.
Yeah.
And
you were 19?
I was a counselor.
Okay.
So from 12 to 15, I was a camper. And then from 15 to 19, first I was a counselor in training, CIT, and then became a full-fledged counselor.
You're one of those kids that went through the whole process.
I went through the whole process.
Yeah. What kind of, it was a sports camp?
Sports camp, all boys camp.
Okay. What do you mean by sports, though? Like, it's all sports?
Yeah.
Oh,
basically, okay. We just, it was a small camp.
Mm-hmm. What was the sport that you counselored at? Or you counseled with
first bitch?
What sport were you doing?
It wasn't a, like, it wasn't a camp where it was helping kids prepare for AAU. It was just a camp.
It wasn't the Jordan and Nike.
Yeah, nothing like that at all. Yeah. It was actually a camp that started.
Yeah, like counseling, like,
it was one of the first camps that,
Broom
ball. It had a really long history. It started in 1908.
Damn.
Wow. So it was just.
Was it broom ball for real, actually?
It was just a bunch of really poor Jews from Boston who came from the west end of Boston that was completely bulldozed and destroyed and to make room for new development.
Yeah.
And that whole Jewish community bonded together and was like, listen, our...
And I'm like, jabroni.
And that was the third time I got crabs.
You told that to the crabs, right?
Yeah, I did.
Anyway, no, but the history of this camp is interesting. So it started in 1908. So this area of Boston, which was the west end of Boston, was being completely... All these working-class Jews were displaced. Their whole community was destroyed.
And this is in like the early 1900s, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
And so they're like, all right, listen, we need to find a way to give our kids an opportunity to have some sort of positive experience in the summer. So they literally built a cabin in Maine, and the first year it was just 10 kids. And there's pictures in the Maine hall of that first group of campers.
In Maine, no
yeah.
less.
Oh, so you went to, this wasn't in New York. This was you traveled to Maine every year.
I traveled to Maine.
Oh, that's
every
cool.
Year. Yeah, yeah.
So the Maine hall in Maine.
So...
That's so stupid.
All right. But so my grandfather, my mother's father, who I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, was my main masculine role model growing up. He went to this camp in the 1930s, maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my uncles and cousins all went to this camp, and it's a big deal. The tradition of my family is connected to this camp.
How were the kids that went there? Were they depressed?
What?
Yeah. 1930s?
All right, weird history joke.
Oh my god!
Woo! My god! Getting after it.
So, it started as a sports camp, or it like transitioned into a sports.
It's just
camp?
A camp where we played sports. We just played sports. That's all we did.
But
it was on a lake. It was on a huge, beautiful lake. So we went swimming. And then we played sports.
Was it like heavyweights? Like that kind of camp?
Oh my god. Did they have the fucking... What was that?
The big bumpy thing you jump on and you fly off.
We did not have that.
Yes.
But we had wakeboarding. That was... Okay, you asked me what I counseled.
Yeah.
I was the wakeboarding instructor.
Really?
What a hippie thing for you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was the wakeboarding.
While you listen to your Sublime album.
But that's a great point. People had puka shells. Thank you so much for bringing that up. So this summer camp was a big deal for me because growing up in New York, I got a New York culture.
Right. Are you good at wakeboarding?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I can jump the wake. I can do a 180.
Really?
Herschel wakeboard. That might be the greatest thing ever. I'd love that.
That'd be hella tight.
Yeah. But it was a weird oasis for me because it was an incredible experience to be part of a long tradition. It was connected to my family and connected to an institution that still exists today. And campers of this camp always send their children there. And it remains a small thing.
Yeah.
And it's all based on donations. it's connected to a Boys and Girls Club. Mm. So there's also disadvantaged kids who come from poor parts of Boston who also get a chance to go to the camp. Yeah.
Is it still specifically Jewish?
Or no, so it, okay. No, it is a lot Jewish, okay. But also there's a bunch of Black and Hispanic kids,
okay,
who come as well because they're connected to the Boys and Girls Club in,
right,
the Alston-Brighton part of Boston.
Right.
So there is, it's a mix.
So it's mostly Boston kids there, though?
Almost exclusively.
Oh, so it was unique for you as a New Yorker there.
I was a huge minority. So, so many sports conversations.
I was going
to say. Back to the wall. My back was always to the wall.
Right.
Repping the Yankees, repping the Knicks, and just mass whole fucking Pats, Celtics, Sox fans. Because
I got a number.
Yeah.
Like that.
I loved it. That was one of the parts of the camps I loved. Being in that camp that I loved.
Do you think that's why you're so combative now? Because you spent your summers just fucking arguing always?
No, but I think that was one of the reasons I loved it.
Or maybe why you're good at it now? Because it
maybe,
was like training?
Maybe.
That was like your sport you were practicing?
Maybe. But anyway, so I want to describe the culture of the camp.
Okay, yeah.
So it was basically a white kids camp, a rich white kids camp. And the music that I listened to, because I went to summer camp, really broadened my horizons. It's the reason that I don't only listen to hip-hop.
Mm.
So Sublime is a perfect example.
Right.
So this album, when I was, I guess, 14, everyone was listening to Sublime Self-Entitled. It was just on repeat,
yeah,
in the bunk. All summer.
Really?
And it's like, the whole album is in my bones now.
Yeah.
Just because it was something that all the kids were listening to, all the counselors were listening to, and there was this culture that I'm very nostalgic for, which is the popular counselors who had like a cult of personality, where a lot of campers were like on their jock. They had this huge... those like zipper albums of CDs.
Of course, yeah.
And they would fucking open that shit up and they'd have like 200 CDs, all classic rock, ska, punk, like new wave.
What were the other ska bands on there?
As I said, I know nothing about ska.
This is the one that you picked up on.
This is just the one that I picked up on.
Fucking kidding me.
But like a lot of music that I'm still into now is stuff I just picked up being a part of the summer camp culture. And I want to talk a little bit about the album.
Of course,
I haven't talked about the album at all.
Of course, yeah.
So I just want to talk about... So the lyrical content... So the musical style is like punk rock, reggae, ska, some dance hall, a little bit of hip-hop, but the lyrical content is some like confessional stuff, talking about relationships and addiction. But also social commentary.
Right.
And so specifically, the song that I'm going to talk about in detail, I'm only going to talk about one song in detail, is this track, April 29th, 1992.
That's what the name of the song is?
That's the name of the song.
Okay.
So basically the song is about the L.A. riots. And I just,
they're from L.A.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're a West Coast group.
Okay.
So I have this snippet of very intense memory of 1992. I was in third grade, maybe fourth grade, and we were in the cafeteria, and we're all clueless kids who don't know anything about the world,
right.
But the LA riots was by far the most important thing going on in America at that moment,
right.
And it all filtered down to us 10-year-olds, and I have this really powerful memory of being in the cafeteria, and kids were writing, all privileged white kids, elementary school I went to was very segregated.
Mm.
I went to a quote-unquote rainbow gifted program. You know what I'm talking about?
Kind
so of. Basically all the kids in my class were white with a few exceptions, all coming from upper middle class backgrounds.
Uh-huh.
And there were a bunch of other kids in the school who were mostly Black and Hispanic and Muslim, and we never socialized with
but
them.
But it was like a gifted school within a school? Is
yes.
that kind of what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tested into this program when I was in kindergarten, and I stayed with those kids throughout my whole
life. It was like reverse special ed.
Yes.
Okay.
The gifted kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so all these, especially, I remember girls doing this, but maybe some guys too, they were writing their wills.
They thought they were going to die?
Why?
Because we were stupid fucking kids who were just really scared because something scary was happening. Even though it was on the other side of the country, we just, nothing had happened that we understood in that, in the world at that point. And something scary was happening, and we were watching scenes on TV of vandalism occurring in our country.
Some of those clips are crazy to watch.
And for some reason, riots has been something that has come up again and again in media I've been consuming lately. So I just want to go over a couple examples. Mm-hmm. So I saw a really, really interesting documentary on Netflix a couple weeks ago about the 1977 blackout in New York City, which is famous for intense looting. And I'm also reading a novel about someone growing up in New Jersey, and there are very underreported riots that occurred in Newark in the late 1960s, which is basically the same kind of dynamics that led to the 1977 riots because of the blackout.
It was
a race riot. Purely a race riot. And just reflecting on the idea of riots is something that I think is really interesting because we live in China. And I think one of the things that I've noticed about living in China is that I can walk around this city at 3 a.m. and I never feel in danger. Ever.
Man,
And it's really interesting to me that it's just a huge switch in dynamics. Growing up in an urban area in America, you're always aware of the undercurrent of potential violence that exists. And then being in a Chinese city, it's just absent.
Like, the safety you feel is kind of crazy. And to tag on to that, maybe you guys have heard people say this. A lot of women tell me that about China, too. Like, it's one thing for us, I think, as men to say that, but a lot of women say the same thing. I can be drunk on the street at 4 a.m. and feel safe.
I had a friend of mine. She used to get just smashed all the time. And she would pass out on the street, and she had to just bag her purse out just randomly, and she'd wake up in the morning, nothing was gone.
Just wake up.
Absolutely fucking nothing.
So that's the one song I wanted to talk about in detail. I just want to mention a couple other songs that I love. I'm not going to really talk about them in detail, but just for those of you who are listening who maybe don't know this album and want to check it out, it has a great variety of music. Some of them are like social commentary, but others are just like singles that are almost poppy, like Santeria.
That's the one I know.
I don't practice Santeria.
Do you practice
Santeria?
What is Santeria?
I ain't got no crystal ball. It's like voodoo. Right?
No.
It's a religion. It's a cult religion.
I guess it is kind of like voodoo. It's, from what I know about it, it's from Cuba, Puerto Rico, some of the, like, the Central American countries. They worship Mary. And it's like a mix of like some African traditions, some like local native traditions, and Catholicism.
What a strange topic to choose a song with the major part of the song for.
No, that's not the topic of this one at all.
I know, but why would you... The name is called Santeria. I know, maybe it's not the topic, but I'm still saying...
Did you know what that was when you were listening to it as a kid?
Not at all.
I never, that's something you just learned recently?
Not recently, but definitely after I just knew every word to the song.
Because that is the way, like, there's things you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of know what that is. It's kind of like songs like that, right? Where you're just like, yeah, that's where I heard that from.
All right, so I think that's basically all I want. There's just a couple other of my favorite songs. Pawn Shop is a brilliant song.
Down in the Pawn
Yeah,
Shop.
So you know that. Yeah, that's actually a cover. I didn't know that. I was just reading about that.
Who was it a cover of? Do you know?
A group that I'd never heard of.
Oh, so like 70s rock band or something.
Not rock, like reggae. It's they changed the lyrics.
They changed the lyrics.
Sublime changed the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Caress Me Down, Wrong Way. These are all just great songs.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm done talking about the album. I just want to share one memory from summer camp, which I want to connect to some of the themes that we've talked about as far as summer lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first day of camp, my first year as a CIT, which means counselor in training.
CIT.
So you still have to pay. You still pay. So you're technically a camper, but you have crazy responsibilities.
Right.
So we had to work in the kitchen. We had to wash dishes. We got ragged on. We were at the bottom of the totem pole for the counselors, so we had the least amount of time off. We had the most amount of bitch work.
Like the freshman fraternity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
Did you have to drink a beer out of a shoe?
The story I'm about to tell is All not drinking. All not drinking. All right. So the head of the camp.
Sorry, how old were you at this time?
15.
You're 15, okay. 15.
So the head of the camp is like the only older guy who works at the camp, basically.
What do you mean by older?
50s.
Okay, okay. Not just older than
15. He's the one that checks all the counselors.
Right.
So in the camp, at that time, the camp's very different now. The camp is a lot more like safe and follows more like regulated guidelines.
Because they have to now.
Yeah. But when I was a counselor there, it was a bit more of a free-for-all.
Right.
So there was a lot of counselors going into the woods late night, getting drunk, smoking pot.
Right.
And there was like anyway, so the night before that all the campers come,
yeah,
it's the opportunity for all the counselors to go wild.
Right.
So I drank way too much. Way too much.
You drink Zimas?
I polished off a six pack of Tall Boys, 22 ounces.
Okay, yeah. Damn.
And then
polished it up by yourself?
Yes. And then
15.
Got started with a handle of Captain Morgan's spiced rum. And to this day, I can never drink Captain Morgan spiced rum because of this night 18 years ago. It's still the smell of Captain Morgan spiced rum. So anyway, so the campers all show up the next day. The campers all show up the next day, and I literally can't get out of bed.
Right.
The whole day. The whole
You actually just stayed in bed?
I could not get out of bed.
Oh, physically you couldn't physically, make your
I
body
was that
move.
Hungover. Jeez. I was that hungover. So what happened was the head of the camp like took me aside a couple days later and was like, so I know what happened, you know, like I know what happened to you, you know.
Dude's got to be hippie
as fuck. I know things are going on. Tell me who gave you the booze. Who gave you the booze?
Ooh, trying to get you to rat out.
And I ratted.
You ratted!
And I ratted on the guy who was at the top of the hierarchy of the councils.
Oh my god.
Hirsch.
Why?
Because I'm a dick.
You're not. No, you were a scared teenager
terrified.
Who had never been
terrified.
Drunk before and
terrified.
You didn't want your parents to find out.
So what happened to me was the first 2 weeks, it's an 8 week session, the first 2 weeks, I was blackballed.
Right.
I had no chances to go out and party with other counselors because that guy who I ratted on was like, fuck Herschel.
Nobody talked
fuck
to Herschel.
Nobody talked
yeah.
to him.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking talked to him. And anyway, it was really interesting because like I was talking about the CD culture, like sharing CDs and
right.
how this camp had a unique culture. But
CD culture.
Yeah, I know. I tried to correct myself.
Oh, I guess I didn't get that before. So you're saying everybody had these cases of CDs
the
and you
coolest,
guys would share them.
The coolest, oldest counselors had the most music.
Right.
And we're teaching younger counselors and campers about what music to listen to.
Hey, bro, hold this CD for a little
exactly.
bit. You're going to like this
exactly.
shit. Okay,
and
I got
like,
you. Yeah.
There was, like, times where other counselors would take me out for a drive, and we'd go get high and drive around the back roads, and they'd put on, like, obscure Bob Marley CD.
Right, you're going to
like
love
Kaya.
This. Yeah.
Like, I would never have known about Kaya as, like, an underappreciated Bob Marley and the Wailers CD just because this dude put me onto it and we went out and got high and drove around.
Right.
It still is good?
Yes. That's still good. One of my favorite albums of all time.
Bob Marley's pretty great, man.
That, and that well, album specifically. Actually, one of those tracks is the ringtone to my cell phone right now. That's how much I love that album.
We're done.
Okay. So, I learned a lot about responsibility and politics, and I learned a lot about social dynamics from my experiences at that summer camp, and that was a big thing for me about summer lessons, about being a kid and learning about adult things. So for me, it was summer camp, but for you guys, it was probably something different. Maybe it was basketball culture. Maybe it was, I mean, I'm just curious, like what was something like that for you guys where you ran into something where you were confronted with adult situations but you were kind of still a kid and it was like a pivotal moment, like the story I just told.
Well, I guess just two things I wanted to talk about. I mean, I guess I can say one of the story flicks is totally off topic, but this one is a little bit off topic. So, I don't know if you guys know about this, but they have an adult summer camp.
Yeah, I hear about that. They have
that
all
I've
Brooklyn.
Always wanted to do, like for years, and I would love it if we tripod pong out there one day. One time! I think it's like $1,000 or something ridiculous. But we could do that.
Well, I just want to say, yeah, that sounds fucking phenomenal.
It'd be fucking bomb. Like, anyway, that was just the one thing.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, I've got something.
Crunchy.
At the risk of sounding like what you accuse me of, Herschel, always being combative.
Go.
I was listening to a podcast talking about that, and that is kind of like an example of the way we're like we infantize generations longer now. Like, our parents, to tell them when they're in their 30s to go to adult summer camp, are you kidding me? You think your grandpa would fucking go to a summer camp? And now we're like, I don't know.
I would like
to. I'm not trying to.
They have drinking there. And drunken random games.
And you, and you're supposed to do it. No one's mad at you if you're hungover the next day.
I don't know. Just like, just to piggyback on that, some of the best, like, broing out drinking sessions I've ever had was being a counselor at summer camp. Because there's nothing to do, there's no girls, you're in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, and there's nothing better than the older counselors going to the liquor store, getting fucking 30 racks of beer, then you take a couple cars up the hill, and you're just fucking on the side of the back road, or just like camping out, and it's, I don't know, it's just great fucking nostalgia memories.
Well, all I'm hearing from you right now is you need to come to Minnesota with me and Jeffrey, because that's what people do in Minnesota.
Yeah, see, that
like,
was...
that's an adult thing that people do in Minnesota.
I feel lucky
that
they
go to fucking Aggies.
You go to the
adult...
Yeah, man, that's a... I'm glad we can connect on that, because I, you know, I'm sort of a city kid.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that. So I just feel very privileged that I got a chance to experience a slice of it doing summer camp.
Like going to cabin. Like going to the cabin. That's what you do with your family, is you go up there. Mm-hmm. Your friends. Your friends go to your family cabin. Yeah, you get fucked up because there's nothing else to do. You fish a little bit. You make a bonfire.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Exactly what I'm fucking doing.
Well, I was out with Jeffrey just fucking a couple days ago. You guys were talking about this. And I was so jealous. I was like, I know nothing about that
world.
You
can come there.
Just go there.
I will say, like,
you met the guy whose cabin we're going to.
I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to go.
Oh, yeah, I might be down for that.
Just get sewn and fucking fish?
Yeah, that's the best. That's what one of my best friends does that I connect with back home. That's what he does.
That's happened.
That's what their family does. It's cool as fuck. It's like such a... I don't want to say trust a Minnesota thing because it's not, but it is a non-city thing, I think.
Totally a non-city thing.
Yeah.
But to bring it back to what, like... So that reminded me of, like, a story, like, in the summertime, I think it was like, well, not summertime, but it was like in June. We went up to my buddy's cabin.
Summer?
And one of my closest friends, and he had like two older sisters, and his sisters had brought two guys who were at college. I think they were sophomores or something like that.
You sang one of them a song, didn't you?
No, I didn't sing one of them a song. So again, I mentioned before that I had drank Mike's Hard Lemonade when I first started drinking.
How old were you when you first started drinking?
18.
You're 18?
Okay. Well, I mean, my dad used to give me some beers, and I didn't like it, but that was back in the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I first started drinking, like, on my own.
Yeah.
So we go to my buddy's cabin, and he, you know, and we, this fucking, these Neanderthal motherfuckers. Like, I say that because he had a lowered brow.
I'm already knowing what he looks like.
He had a lowered fucking brow. And we were just drinking just really, like, slowly, and he's like, drink up, bro. Like he's some fucking...
I wish everyone saw what you just did.
I pushed my fucking forehead down like I'm a goddamn caveman. He's like, drink up, Rook. Like we're some fucking idiots. And we technically drank him.
Bro.
We drank up, bro. Yeah. But I remember thinking when I was a sophomore, I'm like, well, what kind of fucking dickhead am I to just like try and do the same thing as some high school
student? When you were a sophomore in college.
Yeah, I hear you. And I actually fell into a fire that day.
But, I mean, what a weird segue. Tell more about that.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Let's like the real story.
We made a big bonfire, and I was just really drunk. I had this like Florida Gators hat on. Like, remember those white hats they had with the bar hats.
Okay.
They had all, like,
that was big in my summer camp.
Yeah.
Because the funny one.
You know what hat? Which is the funny one? Yeah, which funny one?
I had Stanford.
The South Carolina Cox.
Well, but yeah,
the Cox.
I had the other one. Fordham.
Why is that one funny?
Fordham University.
Yeah, why is that funny? I don't know, I guess.
Fordham. F-U.
Oh.
I wrote that Fordham, Florida? No, Fordham's a New York school.
Oh, okay, see, I didn't know that.
But those bar hats, that's another, like, I don't know, that's just a random connection that you just referenced.
Yeah.
That just reminds me so much of my summer camp. It's just fucking white kid, like, listening to Bare Naked Ladies. Cargo shorts.
Fucking hats.
I was like, exactly. That summer camp, and that's such, like, a minority part of me. Like, it's only a small sliver of what I remember. Yeah. I'm mostly a city kid that grew up with hip-hop, but then I went to summer camp, and it was like code switching.
Right.
You know what that
means?
Yeah. Code switching?
You got the old Navy shirt on.
I had to fit in.
You got the
other kids. And it was just
hilarious.
Got that performance fleece on. Oh, it's cold. I didn't wear that performance fleece.
Well, that's for like
Old Navy.
Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, God.
Fucking those guys.
I like Dave Matthews Band.
I do too. I fucking put on Ants Marching right now.
These aren't judgment calls. They're just like, there's a certain culture that goes with all of those things. You knew, like, there was a difference between the hip-hop kids and the wigger kids and the country kids and the Sublime ska kids and the punk rock kids and kids with some guy.
Dave Matthews has never, ever steered me wrong. You bring a girl home or whatever when you're like 18.
Satellite?
Freshman,
put on fucking Satellite?
Freshman in college. You put on Dave Matthews, those fucking pants are coming off. Whatever
I like to
happens.
Hear myself fuck when I fuck. I don't like music.
You, are you serious?
Fuck acapella, yeah, man.
Fuck acapella.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant. That's brilliant. Save that for the stand-up. Boom.
I sing.
Fuck acapella.
Can I go back to your camp a little bit? Because I'm still, like, I'm kind of confused about this camp now. Because you said both it was a sports camp and it wasn't a sports camp. You said it was
all we did was play sports.
No, but you said it was both open to minority kids, and
there
it
was
both uppity white kids. I'm confused.
There was a group of kids
who
didn't have to pay the tuition.
It was like the free and reduced lunch kids at your school.
Yeah, it's a bunch of kids who went to the Boys and Girls Club that was affiliated with the camp.
Yeah,
who just came to the camp. A lot of them didn't stay for the whole time.
Oh,
they just came for a couple weeks. But then some of them ended up staying for the whole
thing
and became, like, that camp saved them.
But, like, they got, like, a scholarship to
go.
But, like, you're saying
the
majority of the people, though,
and
paid
all the upper middle class Jews, their parents and grandparents went when they were lower class, working class Jews. But just the tradition
led to it.
Yeah, that's
so. Was there like a weird, like, racial, socioeconomic? Like,
no
thing that
no.
went on, or
it was,
like,
so egalitarian. It was fucking awesome.
It was like, that was the great equalizer. We're all in the
same
place.
We're all just fucking
you
campers.
Are on your own
yeah.
merits.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool.
Yeah, and we all just play sports together, and the black kids couldn't swim that well, and I guess that was funny. I don't know.
Yeah, of course, because it's such a
stereotype, but it's completely true.
Because we always have to talk about Dave Chappelle. I feel like he said that shit. Well, fuck, if you don't like fried chicken and grape juice, something's wrong with you.
No, watermelon.
Oh, watermelon. Yeah. Something's wrong with you.
Watermelon's delicious.
I want that purple stuff. Sorry, I had to do it. I had to fucking do it, man.
Sugar, water,
you guys,
purple.
I'm the third one who made a reference. Sugar, water,
purple.
And of course,
purple. I wrote down like four things.
Any other questions?
Fuck.
I would love to answer more questions about my fucking weird summer camp.
Did you ever fuck at this camp?
No, it was an all boys camp.
Alright, so how'd you get
there? There were some really badass counselors who on nights off would hook up.
So it is like heavyweights.
Especially the ones who
was it like a
had
dance?
Cars. Especially the ones who had cars.
Was it like a dance where like the girls camp across the lake? You guys met?
Yeah,
together?
Not really.
Oh,
really?
We
talked about it. No, that's the stereotypical thing. That's the stereotypical thing, but our camp was kind of fucking, I don't know.
I never went to summer camp like this, so I don't even know it happened.
Well, I had friends who went to like really ritzy summer camps.
Right.
They were co-ed camps, and they were fucking like crazy.
Of course.
And then I would come back, and I was always kind of behind.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have
you could fuck technically 60 girls in 30 minutes.
You would say behind. It's not behind. It's, yeah,
I always felt behind.
I know. But
because I didn't have those summer dalliances.
I hear you. Well, because Joe Rogan, you know, I listen to his podcast a lot, and he's talked about his summer camp experience before, and
oh,
he's
really?
Like, yeah, and he was just like, because he said he was just kind of a loner and hung out and fished and didn't really fuck around, because he's like, it is
I love some more.
Crazy. He's like, it's crazy they ever... Yeah, right. It's crazy that there's a place where they put a bunch of teenagers just in the woods and are just like, here, yeah, you guys, watch yourselves. Like, you were 15 in charge of 14-year-olds? That's fucking crazy. In the middle of the forest? That's ridiculous. That makes no sense. It seems so unsafe. Like, we're all teachers. Would you ever do that with your kids? Dude, be like, hey, Johnny, go, you watch over Sally and Fred for 8 weeks in the forest.
Okay, this is the last major point I want to make.
No, go.
Another thing that I learned from this camp was, and me and other campers of that era reminisce about it, because we notice that it's different now when we go back and visit the camp. That camp was fucking rough and tumble. Like, I got bullied. I got fucking bullied at that.
Yeah, that's.
And I wasn't a loser. Like, I was like a middle of the road kid.
But
like, I was pretty good at sports.
Yeah.
And I got bullied. I got fucking like beat up.
You got a story you want to like that sticks out in your head?
Yeah. There was one counselor who was really vindictive and shitty.
Was it that same one you ratted on, or
no.
Was it a different one?
No. Oh,
okay.
No, I'm not going to say anything bad about him, because actually he was that guy who blackballed me was kind of right, because I broke bro code that I didn't even really know about, but I did broke.
That was kind of how you learned about
and
it.
I learned a fucking shit ton, and by the end of that year, he fucking selected me for his, you know what Color War is? Color War is like a summer camp thing, like at the end of the year. It's like this big activity where the camp gets split in half, and it's like this war between...
By color?
I feel like it's kind of like...
Okay, you guys don't know about that.
No,
it's a summer camp culture thing.
Well, I was going to say, like, my only thing I'm thinking of is... Have you ever read the Percy Jackson books? Probably not. Okay, but it's about him going to, like, the Half-Blood camp. And yeah, they're all in houses, just like Harry Potter.
Yeah,
at the end of the summer,
yeah,
they have a big... It's kind of like that, like a big competition.
But okay. So by the end, I had, like, re-earned his respect... I dealt with the fucking 2 weeks of getting blackballed like a man, and I fucking worked my ass off. I worked in the kitchen. I played on the 15-under basketball team. Just kept my nose to the grindstone, and then by the end of that summer, I was back in the fucking bosom of like all the counselors who reaccepted me.
We're not going to talk about that. That seems like the most amazing like redemption part of this.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's like
yeah.
I didn't learn my lesson until now. You learned your lesson at the time, but that says a lot about you.
But I still think I'm making that mistake.
We all always feel that way.
Keep repeating my mistake.
Okay, so just repeat something you said in an earlier podcast.
Yeah.
You were talking about your grandfather,
yeah.
The male role model you mentioned
yes.
earlier,
yes.
And you found out your grandma said to you,
"Yes,
how can I raise a family?" So don't you feel like maybe
can you repeat that for the listeners?
Well, you said that your grandma said to you, your grandfather said when he found out that she was pregnant, how can I take care of a family when I can't even take care of myself? And it was this like big realization for you that like this person you always looked up to as like always having the shit together, the archetype of masculinity, had times where he felt vulnerable.
That's right.
And
that's
I feel
right.
like
that's right.
this is a good example where I'm looking at like you that way. You just told a brilliant story about how you had this time where you really fucked up. That's
yeah.
a giant thing to fuck up
yeah.
on. Like, in some place in the world, that would get you killed doing something
really?
Like that. And, right. And you learned your lesson. You did what you needed to do.
Yeah.
And by the end,
that's
you
true.
Earned the guy. You ran it out. You
that's
got
true.
Him back. That's so hard. I don't know if I know anybody that ever did something like that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, that
impressive,
was, yeah.
man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You should... Give yourself way more. I'm just
Thank
looking
you.
At your face right now, and you're like, looking down, man. You should feel proud as fuck about that.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Especially to do it as 15?
Yeah.
That says a lot about
it
you.
It takes a lot of cojones.
It takes a whole ton of cojones.
Huh. Herschel's smiling right now.
Them big coconuts was just
hella balls.
They were hanging super low, just fucking whacking motherfuckers.
Dude, I feel like now it sounds balls. Like I was fishing for this, but I really wasn't.
Man,
it
no, weren't fishing.
That's why I'm fucking bringing it out. That's why I'm bringing it up, because you weren't fishing for it.
Dude, for
be.
Real, Herschel, you got like just massive balls. They're like two pumpkins.
They do hang very low.
I can see them right now hanging out your shorts.
Hey, just so a totally unrelated thing. So I was trying to find the song on my phone. Last thing. I was trying to find the song on my phone. It's called Waiting for My Ruka. And it was the only reason that I remember this sublime is that I had, when I was my first year of college, I got baked as fuck to this song. And I thought this song was, swear to God, 8 minutes long. It is 2 minutes long. It is a 2 minute long song. And I was like, fuck, this song is crazy, dude. This song is a fucking song. Just baked as fuck. And it's legitimately 2 minutes. It might be less than 2 minutes called Waiting for My Ruka by Sublime.
That shit was an interlude. That was like,
it was an interlude?
I don't know. I'm joking.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it was so fucking
Sublime was like, good, man. I'm a big fan.
Anyway, I was like, man, I know Sublime.
I mean, this is maybe going back too far, but the last podcast, when you brought it up, we were all like, is this... Maybe it was after we turned it off. I'm like, oh, this ain't ska. What are you talking about? And then the second you put it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's for sure ska.
Yeah. It's a great album. Sublime self-titled. It's a...
Confused me enjoy more it. As to what it is.
Enjoy it. It's a really great fucking album. Okay, so should we take a commercial break and then come back with our picks for next week?
Oh, our final comments of the episode.
All right.
That's Jerry Springer.
Woo!
We're back! Woo!
My masculine muscles made my weenus wiggle wildly while mauling
monkeys. And I am telling it. All right. We're back!
Ooh-wee!
What's up with that?
Hey,
what's up with that?
All right, all right.
All right, here we are for our picks for next week.
Yes.
Jeffrey, you sound very excited about yours.
Are you fucking ready?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
What's Jeffrey
here
doing?
We go.
Is Jeffrey music?
They don't know.
Jeffrey's a movie. Jeffrey's movie, man. That's why I'm
all right. So, my movie. I was originally going to do Hercules. Because that's a really good movie.
Yeah, that's what you told me on the way over here.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
But you changed it.
Change it.
I don't know Hercules.
Yeah, you do the Disney one.
Disney movie,
yeah. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Wow, it's a really good one as well. But
never seen that.
Yeah.
But I changed it up. I was also going to do a movie called Three to Tango.
I know that movie.
With Matthew Perry and Nev Campbell.
No, I've never
seen that. Really good movie as well. But, you know, I talked about it before, and I've debated it before. And the movie that I'm going to choose this week is because I've literally watched this movie probably 40 times. No shit. I saw this movie when I was a kid with my dad. It's a fantastic movie, I feel it's such a good movie. Right now, the very, very sight, you know.
Can we all do the voice?
Very.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
A very science movie. He's talking about chemistry.
I'm just so interested right now.
The main character talks about chemistry quite a bit.
And you're a chemistry teacher. It's a perfect connection there.
Love Professor.
Ooh. Which one?
The original one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jerry Lewis.
I think this is interesting.
If you haven't ever fucking seen it, it's so fucking good. My God, Jerry Lewis.
Jerry
is just
Lewis
so good.
The Nutty Professor.
I just want to say I saw that movie.
It's
so good. It is so good. It's so good. It's way better than the fucking Eddie Murphy one.
Can't
It's 100 million.
What's the original?
It's the original one. Jerry Lewis, it is like fucking prime. It is so good. So good.
Nice.
Good choice.
Great choice.
A lot of good music in there, a lot of Jerry Lewis just flexing.
It's going to be a very interesting conversation.
Really, yeah. I feel like I'm going to be the asshole on that one.
Go ahead.
Business
as usual.
I will debate that.
I love being a reverse asshole, man. The reverse asshole is where my wheelhouse is.
As long as you're carrying mattresses. That makes no sense. No one understands that at all.
I don't put it. That's why it's funny.
No one understands that.
You want me to go next?
Yes, please.
All right. This is Crunchy. I'm doing the album next week. And
I was telling.
Can we play a guessing game?
Yeah.
I like. Yeah, alright.
Do you want any hints?
I actually don't know. Do I?
I was telling Jeffrey earlier. Oh, Jeffrey, this to me is the funniest album I've ever owned.
Oh, I said Weird Language.
Blackout.
Not even close. You're strangely close.
Because I'm badass.
Do you want to just take a look at guess based off of that? How close you are? I don't think you're gonna know this album, but you're super close.
Is Method Man's solo album called Tikal?
That's a great album, I think.
It is a great album, but that's not that album's not that funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
But you're again.
Is it a Red Band album?
It is a Red Band album.
It's a Red Band album.
Ooh, yeah. All right.
I don't know the Red Band solo albums that
Neither
well.
Do I.
But I do, actually. I can fucking see the covers, but I don't know the names of them. I don't know the names of the albums. All right.
I feel like this has the most iconic imagery of Red Man, but it's one
with
of
the
his...
With the hat? The cartoon with the
yes,
big hat?
Yes, it's one of
what's
his
that
lesser
called?
Respected
what's
ones.
That
called
looking it up.
Dox the Name 2000.
Yeah. Okay.
That is... I actually... decided
Dox
to choose
the
album.
Red Man, Dox the Name?
Yep, it's on QQ. I decided this album listening to the Aaliyah album I did a couple weeks ago because there's a beat on there, and it's the exact same beat on one of the songs on this one. This has a single, I'll Be That. When I walk down the street and everybody, he ain't shit, I'll Be That. It's one of my favorite albums of all time, and the whole album is just stupidly funny.
And so that is underappreciated.
Underappreciated. I think it's a... Like
very
a, it's not like... it's not like a genre-changing album. Dox the Name 2000 or Dox 2000, something like that. But it's not like a genre-changing, but it's just really funny. It's a really funny album.
Right.
I think you guys are going to enjoy it. You guys are going to enjoy it. I'm excited for you guys to listen to it. So that's the album for next week.
All
right. We got the Hershenator, our resident Jew, hitting us with the next video game. Hit us away, Jew boy!
Drew Boy is coming correct. So I I think maybe pigeonholing myself as the fighting game, video game dude.
Nothing wrong with that.
I did Tekken, and now I'm going to do the granddaddy of all fighting games, Street Fighter 2.
Classic fighter bitch. Alpha.
So I already know the story I'm going to tell on the next episode. It's going to be about playing the arcade game in elementary school. And I'm also going to talk about when Street Fighter II Champions Edition came out for Genesis. That was a paradigm-changing moment in the history of video games and just also something personal that I can talk a lot about. So,
I love
Street
it.
Fighter
I can't
II.
Wait. I can't Street wait.
Fighter II.
Is he talking about Chun-Li's boobs? Because fuck!
Maybe that's why I developed my
is it that Asian fetish
attraction
scene?
To
yeah.
Asian
get that
women.
Like
who knows?
Serious
who knows?
Action?
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, on that note, all right, man. I'm looking forward. We got a strong episode coming
yes,
up. I like that.
Very
it's a
so.
Beauty. Yeah. Good shit. I like that. All right. Well, on
and
that note,
I
we are the
telling you.
That we are the Tripod Ponyo.
Yes, we are.
This is the Millennial Nostalgia Bay Podcast. And join us next week to hear about the Movie Nutty Professor with Jerry Lee Lewis. Is it Lee Lewis?
No, not
Jerry Lewis.
I'm going to add Jerry in there because I'm in China and I want to be making Asian. We're going to talk about Street Fighter 2. And we're going to talk about Red Man's Dox and Name. You want to tell me I'm a versatile? I'll be there.
Blacka.
Berries.
Bye-bye.
They'll never take me alive, I'm getting high with my profile cocked on these suckers, time to die. Even as a youngster, causing ruckus on the back of the bus. I was a fool all through high school, kicking up dust. But now I'm labeled as a troublemaker. Who can you blame? Smoking weed help me take away the pain. So I'm hopeless, rolling down the freeway, swerving. Don't worry, I'm about to crash upon the curb. Cause my business bloody, maybe if they tried to understand me. What should I do? I had to feed my fucking family. What else could I do? Or be a I'm slangin' with the homies, fuck hangin' with the phonies in the club. Got my mind, no danger, never been a stranger to homicide. My city's full of gangbangers and drive-bys. Why do we die at an early age? He was so young, but still a victim of the 12 gauge. My memories of a corpse, mind full of sick thoughts. And I ain't going back to court, so fuck what you thought. I'm drinking Hennessy, running from my enemies. Will I live to be 23? There's so much pain.
never been.